Hi, everybody. This is Beth with Tara and Rama here.
Greetings, everyone.
We had a slight little
glitch.
And I'm sorry. I hope you didn't all give up on us. I know it's 10 after the hour.
If anybody is in contact with people trying to get in on the conference call, we won't be able to patch into that for 5 more minutes, but we wanted to come on and tell you we've been working out the glitch and we're ready to go now. So thank you for joining us. We're going to have a special guest tonight whose name is Roger Calhoun, and he is a national expert in discharging debt, especially mortgages, and he knows a lot about the UCC filing process. And he has a lot of information to share with us. He has worked with Debbie Dubois, and many of you were on our call earlier when Debbie came on to tell us how she went to court and won her house back from Chase Manhattan Bank. So we're very excited to have Roger tonight. We're going to call him in a few minutes when everybody's on the conference line, and and we're going to call him just right after we finish the hard news. So I wanted to maybe, I don't know how you want to start, Tara. Do you have a suggestion?
Why don't you talk, maybe, I don't know. Should we play some music?
It's catchy. Yeah, let's play some music so we can include everybody in 3 minutes.
Yeah, Rama, come on, play your the Carpenters. And let's all go galactic for a little while so we have everybody from the conference call with us before we start, because we have everybody on the same page.
I'll just say that this little clip kind of caught me.
Well, you've played that before.
Everybody.
It's about the Enterprise, and it's really... what time it is. It's a galactic moment we're having here, a galactic giggle moment.
And I'll just say Mr. Obama said now is the time.
We're echoing.
Just ignore me, Rama, completely.
Okay,
Come on, here we go. Settle down. Get wild mercury going all over the place that everybody's
Yes, that invisible helmet is quite a trip.
Okay, let's play this. Let's call all angels and Starfleet command. We're needing to get our giggles in order here.
Sir, contact with lobby. I have visual contact, Captain.
In your mind, you have capacities, you know, to telepath messages through the best unknown. Please close your eyes and concentrate with every thought you think upon the recitation we're about to say. Calling occupants of interplanetary craft. Calling occupants of interplanetary most extraordinary craft. Calling occupants of interplanetary craft. Calling occupants of interplanetary craft. Calling occupants of interplanetary craft.
Thank you, Rama.
You have the talking stick, Lady Master.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the call. I do apologize for starting late. We had a glitch in the computer setup at the conference call, so I apologize. I want to say that we have been putting out some pleas for donations recently, and we had good news. Many, many of you donated, and also many of you tried the archives, and that very generous offer by the radio, bbsradio.com, best internet radio there is, offered to give us 100% of anyone who purchases archives from them. It significant amount off from what we owed from airtime. And they have an offer out there even to try it for a week, which is only a couple of dollars. It all goes to airtime. It's very, very much appreciated, and we thank you. I don't know, Tara, if you want to add anything more to that.
Well, just in terms of our immediate portion of it, we need 200 more to have the rent. And it's been due since the 1st, so at this point it would be really great if we could complete that. And it would be most helpful to email us at Koran, K-O-R-A-N as in Nelly, 999 at hotmail.com. As our other email is temporarily, I think it's going to be for maybe 5 more days, and then we'll have that back. Yet we need to get something like MoneyGram or Western Union now. So for that amount. And there is, of course, no other money. So as you could contribute so that we could, there's 2 other bills that are due within the next 2 or 3 days. And food and gas. So thank you for helping. And
thank you.
And the other thing is that Marita Robert will be here tomorrow on the call. And this program, which are the letters are LGN Prosperity. And Marita says for her those 3 letters stand for love, gratitude, and nourishment, prosperity. And so, Beth, if you want to just say any more about that, she's going to give, we finally got all kinds of kinks ironed out of that. And this is really exciting because we haven't got bush gang guerrilla warfare going on to keep us from these things. And this is beyond what we've been through in terms of past network marketing. And this is not the time to drag that old cat in the door.
No.
Mm-hmm. This has
What I want to say is when I first heard about this, I was skeptical and I was nervous. And I asked Rama to have it checked out. And I feel confident that everything with this is kosher. And the reason we're bringing this prosperity program forward is because we want to move away from donations. We've only been on the air since December 10th, and we were asking for donations just to get started. So we've been taking these steps. Marita Roberts been working on this for a month, and I'm going to be launching a new website because we want to keep everything separate from what we've already been doing. And so just hang in there. The information is coming. And the idea is we want to not only move away from needing donations or needing donations for airtime, we also want to bring prosperity to everyone else. And that's what this is, and this is for real. So Marita's going to go into detail about that tomorrow. And then the other...
Beth?
Go ahead, Tara.
I just wanted to read one paragraph here so that people get what's going on. This is only 10 weeks old. And you have the opportunity to share in a company that has been paying people $777 several times a month, even during their first month of activity. Some are now being paid $777 2 or 3 times per week, only after 1 or 2 months in this event. So this is just like BBC Radio, the best. This is the new...
BBS.
BBS, excuse me. Oh, we'll get that in the hard news. BBC's been doing a darn good job on that department.
Yes.
I'm sorry, Don and Seth.
Well, go ahead, Rama.
Oh, my... I mean, I didn't know if you all were finished.
Oh, I think
we're finished.
Well, today, I mean, with the hard news we are at a point, like, I mean, that song popped into my head, and it was just what showed up, because aside from healthcare and all the other strange brew that's going on out there that has to do with anything but the real story called Stargates and calling occupants of the interplanetary craft. I mean, it is calling us.
Calling all occupants.
That's right.
Wake up. You might be on the train and you don't know it yet. Knock, knock.
Yeah. And, I mean, the ramifications of what is on our doorstep, in the sense, like, in our face. And I just have to say, what Tom Hartman talked about today was the movie Avatar is at a place in which where this might take two or three Academy Awards as well as Best Picture of the Year. I'm not saying, I'm just saying. Because this is about the story of healing all of this with all of our brothers and sisters, whatever species we are, because we all chose to come and participate in this. And this is how the Intergalactic Confederation of Worlds accepts Earth as its 33rd member. And how that happens right now, the steps that are being made to make this a reality, Mr. Obama is moving towards total nuclear disarmament on this planet, just like he talked about, and he got the Nobel Peace Prize, even though there is this little thing called the Matrix that's still in place, and it looks like Agent Smith is all over the place. And it's only just the Matrix, because there are issues going on all over the planet that have everything to do with the frequencies of living light, living love, moving up in frequency and magnitude at such a place where
it would take your breath away.
Yeah. And what Tom Hartman talked about today was just how deeply the movie Avatar hit him and his wife. And that whole story of the last hours of ancient sunlight that have to do with the original folks that came here 65 million years ago and on, you know, it is all part of this healing that goes back to the Fertile Crescent, Tigris and Euphrates River, and Farsi, the language of the Iraqi people. It all goes back to this. And Marduk, Enki Enlil, Min Herzog, and the Elohim, as opposed to Elohai. It all goes back to this 26,826-year plan they laid out, these folks, and how long do wizards live? I mean, I have to say that as
we... Well, Darth Vader's wizardry is over, darn it.
It is.
Wrong end of the stick, you might say?
Praise Jah. And what is being said on all the levels right now is, Randy Rhodes said it today. I mean, Stephanie Miller, everyone this
they
morning.
They said something this morning about Bunning and McConnell.
Oh,
both
yes.
Bunning and McConnell, and Mitch McConnell and Dick Cheney are grand wizards of the Knights Templar.
Yes.
And using it for the wrong purpose.
O-T-O.
Vatican rag, everyone. All three of them.
Yeah, and there are unsolved murders to this day all over Kentucky and elsewhere.
Well, Greg Pallas this morning on Amy was bringing up that of what we're most horrifically guilty for, and Liberia is an example of where they're putting bad paper that they have bought bad loans and bought up bank paper that's worthless, and then they have jacked that up anywhere to 15, 25 times that, and they're laying it back on Liberia and saying that that whole country has to pay it back, and that country's in shambles. And, you know, they caused, was it an earthquake or something, or was it a bombing on the palace, and they killed Gaddafi's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
That was just for starters to say you don't cooperate.
That was Libya.
Oh, this is Liberians.
Yeah.
I'm getting all that tongue. Liberian. That's, what's that war criminal? He's already in The Hague. Charles Taylor. No.
Yes.
Yeah.
A partner to Pat Robertson, diamond mines, where they use little boys and little girls, and those mines are very dangerous, and the diamonds are not worth anyone's life force.
No.
And literally, it was the women, the women that went in the face of their children and their husbands and everybody already dead. And this is again Women's Suffrage Month this month.
Yeah.
And this whole thing today, it's just, boy, is this off the wall. I mean, in 8 states in this country, women can be, call it a pre-existing condition, as they were to be abused by someone, beaten, or, you know, in the husband being abusive, that as she did not leave the house, then she would be guilty of endangering and therefore guilty of a pre-existing condition, and therefore she would be denied full coverage, complete nothing. And what's going on is most women in that abusive situation are afraid to say anything about it, simply because then something would happen much worse to them.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a double entrapment. And also, this one woman, because of her circumstances and agonizing about things, this was in Idaho, I believe, and it's on the books there, too, that she even hired someone to beat her so that she would miscarry her baby because she wasn't able to, anyway, they were going to put both of these people. Hello?
We're here. I'm sorry.
There were both of these people were going to be put in prison for 15 years, calling it criminal for them to do that. Now, true enough, this is not okay. Yet this is a symptom of this absolutely through and through, saturated with blood and crusty old dirt balls, is all I could put it, of a situation which is it's fascist to its core. Anyway, this is just, I'm going to read this because this has been brought back on the on free speech. One day, okay, this says here, $500,000 a minute, $720 million a day, $720 million for one day of the Iraq war.
That's right.
Imagine what else those dollars could do.
Bill.
One day of the Iraq war, or 6,482 families with homes, or
yes,
82 new elementary schools, or 34,904 four-year scholarships for university students,
that's
or 12,478 elementary school teachers, or 95,364 Head Start places for children, or 1,274,336 homes with renewable electricity, or 11,053,846 children with free school lunches, or 423,529 children with health care one day in Iraq of $720 million while you were watching, while you were listening to this, $621,000 more went to the Iraq war. They're your tax dollars. Tell Congress how you want them spent. Add your voice at www.A as in apple, F as in family, S as in school, C as in council, .org/cost, C-O-S-T, and send this to 10 of your friends. This was put together by the American Friends Service Committee, everyone.
And they want to say that is a terrorist organization. It is not.
Oh, they already proved that other one that they went after wasn't. These guys are about to get it all the way. This is,
you know, that money was never spent. That money was put on a charger plate by the Bush-Cheney crime family, and we never paid as we go. And when they wanted more money, they just printed more paper.
There was no money, period, for this whole time. There was.
And they love.
They're breaking
to say,
up.
This deficit is the president's fault.
Beth, you're really too loud and you're breaking up, so we're only hearing
squeak. Sorry. Never mind.
Okay. The other thing is that this morning there was a memorial service for Mirtha, for
John Mirtha.
Many members of Congress were there, and Nancy Pelosi spoke, and Joe Biden spoke, and all kinds of other folks spoke, and he was really loved by everybody, and he was an example of faithful, unlimited service to the people, and he was the first and only general, and they took him out. They helped him out of here. And you could see on the faces of people that they knew something was way wrong. They said that something went wrong with his intestines when he had this kidney operation. And I'll just tell you that and know what it is. Anyway, the thing is that he went up against the Bush administration as a general, as a decorated United States Army vet, a channeler of the commanders, of all the top commanders. And he said, get out of Iraq.
Now.
And he knew what he was doing, and he took the risk. And there's another one that went to the other side. Yeah, this is going to really hurt now. This is going to really hurt those that need to come and take their medicine from everything that's going on. Who did you say said they would rather just... maybe just go ahead and who was that? That was Stalin's grandson, Senator Dodd. Actually, who did he say that to? He said, "I'd rather just take myself out before I have to go through the rest of this." That was an expression. Where did I hear that? It was spoken. Oh, and I wanted to say something. There has been something about Barack Obama's cholesterol count being very, very high. And also that the smoking is still going on. Yet that's not, it's been very exaggerated. Let's put it that way. Yet there is a comedy that was on tonight, and it is a hoot.
Oh, it was.
It takes all these former presidents, and they're all in Barack Obama's bedroom with Michelle and with Barack. And, you know, there is, I don't think he's finished with his smoking, but it's very exaggerated, and it's not telling the truth. They're overdoing it. And yet and still, let's just let he cast the first stone, you know, who has not sinned in this life or any other.
That's right.
Let's not go there. Let's just come on to neutral ground and remember to love everyone and not to use things for political purposes or to cover up things that you haven't even, you know, it's okay to giggle. It's not okay to use things which have got connections to uncleaned up dirt that might be looming in your own shadow.
And this goes back to the hard news here. The House Ways Committee, Means Committee chairman of that committee, Charlie Rangel, he got leaned on. Let's say by the Boys in Black a while back, where he did investments probably tied in with the hedge funds and he didn't pay taxes, and let's say other things happened, and you just cannot play serving two masters. This is what it's simply saying. And the one that is going to take his place, let's say, he knows what he's going to be doing, and I'll just say Iron Man's back in town.
Who's taking whose place?
Tony Stark
is taking
Rangel's place.
And tell me more about Tony Stark.
Tony Stark, the way it's put, is that he knows how to put these Republicans and teabaggers in their place. Because there is so much dirt that goes back to JFK Sr. that has to do with murder to the sky. And the fact that the Bay of Pigs was about trying to start World War III with Mr. Castro and Russia and create the instability and to, you know, supersede this era, which is coming up right now, where we change the timelines. They're already changed. And we have the Sat Yuga, and it's already coming to pass. Like the Mayan calendar says, this is only just the ending of a circle cycle and the beginning of an incredible 100,000 years of peace. And this is what's coming to pass right now, and things are in flux, to put it simply. And this has to do with how the whole matrix gets changed on all levels. And there is no matrix. It is the fact that we are in these different timelines. And I found this video, and you haven't heard it, but I have.
What is it?
It is about the Moorish people and the Avatar story and 2012. And it's only about 7 minutes, but this guy, he says it like it is. We are moving from 3D to 4D to 5D, and people are having trouble sleeping. They are going through dimensional vortexes.
Oh, goody.
And they are, you know, let's just say the fecal matter has hit the oscillating apparatus.
Right.
I mean, this says it all.
And please forgive us, everyone, because, I mean, the amount of time it's going focused just into this work. Thank you for your patience. And this, you know, it seems like we're kind of incognito to everyone right now. I just want to say we're going to stay that way. The King said to stay that way for right now. Use our email to communicate, because we're sussing out. What they're doing is they're cleaning up any kind of Darth Vader interruptions. They're cleaning up the board. So, and let's praise, respect, thank, and love all of our own foibles. And please, let's come to this grateful forgiveness board right now so that we can get to this smoothly at this time. And praise, respect, thank, and love all the feelings that come up. This would stir up the pot like nobody's business at the last moment right now. Anything that might be just lurking that you still are still yikesy-wikesy, you haven't been so happy to have to deal with. Now is the time. There's more love than there's ever been on this planet.
Yeah.
It is how could you checkmate what these guys that were watching doing? It's just, you can't do better than they've done. A plus for just coming up with the most diabolical ways to use the energies. And, you know, it didn't work, and that's the lesson. And it did work at the same time. That's really the trick. When Swami Porta says, this is whole, that is whole. Taking away whole from whole, whole still remains whole. We love you, everyone. Pass the talking stick. I think we better let our commander come on here. I think it's very appropriate what Barack Obama did today, by the way, in terms of what the commander is talking about, because he laid down the law about health care today.
That's right.
You are going to vote, and you will show your colors, because between now and the next couple, 2-3 weeks, that you get to discuss and cuss about it amongst yourselves or inside yourself. We're going to be handling a few other issues. So you're going to look really green around the gills if you still don't want to vote for this health care by the time this week or two or three is done. So in this moment, 9/11 is on the table. Lady Master Nada didn't mean maybe. She called us up on Monday morning. Before we got on with Cheryl Croce, and she said, they are pulling out all the stops. We are on 9/11 and subsequently Nasara's enactment. And when they pull out all the stops on 9/11, they'll have to arrest all of the ones that are sitting there with their drawers dropped. And then 9/11 will be a piece of cake. And it's all a piece of cake. It's already done behind the scenes. And by the way, reading anything about packages or levels 4s or 5s or whatever they're talking about, all of that is connected with fakery. It's all connected with the Bush gang, and don't make any mistakes. Anybody that's talking about that, meaning what's his name? Casper, the friendly ghost, and Poofness, and Truth Warrior, and anybody connected with any money programs or any dates or any packages, this or that, any of it, it's all fakery. And do not forward that stuff to anybody. Don't even bother to give it any credit. As you want to witness it as another desperado who's guilty, that's all you can do. And you can send them love, or you can send them their messages back and tell them to stop lying to the public and stop telling us what you're going to bring to us, because you're going to be arrested. That is the truth. And do that with love, whatever it is. Merely keep those fear-based lies out of your soul. And remember now, it is more important than ever for us to clean our act up on a spiritual level. As anybody is smoking, or anybody is drinking, or anybody is eating too much because it's an addiction, or sugar, everything that we're doing that is not in alignment with balance has to do with a message for a lesson plan, and the lesson is very large at this point. Nothing is small, and the body is most sacred. And the body has no business being abused because you have an out of controlness with your own emotional body. You have an obligation to heal that, not to abuse your physical when you feel that way, because that is not your body. That body is a gift on loan so that you can give the gift to the rest of everybody else and help bring peace and joy to this planet. Okay, that's my, I pass the talking stick. I pass it to you, Beth, to introduce this wonderful guest who will teach us how to do this, who will teach us how to do this on a very real basis where it really matters and true value of the pure spirit and everything that we touch will be here as we walk ourselves through with this. We all must do our part. Pass the talking stick.
Thank you, Tara and Rama. Everybody, I want you to meet Roger Calhoun. We're very lucky to have him join us here tonight. And without any further ado, Roger, I welcome you. Thank you for coming.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here. Just want to say hi to everyone out there. I'm not sure what topic you want to discuss this evening and where you, how you would like me to go about this,
I will have the tendency to interrupt you sometimes, sorry. I'll start out by telling everybody, that they're welcome to call in if that's okay while we're talking, and then if we get callers who want to ask questions, they can do that. So
okay.
The number, everybody, if you have a question for Roger, is 415-762-1161. And, Roger, if you will just tell everybody a little bit about yourself and maybe more about the work that you did with Debbie Dubois, who's a Galactic Roundtable member and big supporter. She started our website. We can start there, and I expect that there may be some callers and some questions coming.
Okay, first of all, I wanted to let you know that we're kind of breaking up a little bit, not so bad that I can't understand what you're saying, but can you all hear me fine?
We can, thank you.
Yes.
Yes,
okay,
we
good.
Can, Commander. I do want to just add that I am very interested in making the connection to coming back to true value, and that things that have been done that are what you might say economically criminal, and the behaviors that we must notice about our homes being usurpated by usury, things like that, and that once we know that these things can be dealt with integrity. And I would love for you to explain that. I get a lot of questions, Roger, about UCC forms and information about really knowing more in depth about it, what it means to take this step spiritually so that we are out of the tape loop of, you know, voodoo economics, first of all, and criminal use of us and everybody else, and that thing of being true stewards of the land and all of the things that we own again, and how to take it back.
Oh, that's exactly what I do. And anyways, first I'll start off by letting everybody know just a little bit about myself and my background. Like most of you out there, you might have been aware at a young age that things weren't right, and many of you out there might have been enduring a good long time of the pressures of this system and its injustices. I have for many years, and so anyways, I have been one who've endured and been persecuted by the system many times over, mainly for traveling, you know, drive, we refer to driving a vehicle. I don't drive vehicles anymore. I travel in cars. So a lot of what's going on right in front of you in your world are deceptions that are created in the language in which you speak every day, okay? And a lot of what the processes are of coming into the know of these things are just that, realizing the true origin and the meanings of the words in which a lot of the words made up are derived from. So another way to explain that part of it is that the languages, English language, is driven from many different languages, and it's controversial and ambiguous because of that. And I believe it was designed to be that way, for the purpose of deceiving and taking advantage of the ignorant and the ones they keep ignorant and out of the know of how things are really being operated. Well, having been somewhat aware of a lot of the things that are going on, and knowing that my conversation, the topics of conversations that I were interested in as I was growing up into my young 20s and so on, excuse me, were not popular conversations, and the rest of the world seemed to be attuned to, you know, the pleasures that this world had to offer, whether it be just sports or all these things. And I saw them, all these things that they were occupied in, as just ways to get away from the true reality that I was seeing. And either they were ignoring it in full and seeing it like I did, or they just couldn't see it. Okay, so as I got into my 30s, I had been persecuted enough merely for traveling, and my family members and so on all through my life could not figure out how I was getting in so much trouble, okay? And I could explain to them that I wasn't doing anything unlike they were, and because they weren't having the problem, so therefore the only conclusion they could come to is that I was doing something wrong, and so on. So anyways, that was kind of mind-boggling. Many of you out there may be able to experience these type of things where you just seem to be in complete opposition, or everything around you seem to be in opposition with you at one point in time in your life, or sometime, some of you, most all of your life. Well, I'm noticing this day and age, okay, mainly in my experiences, having gone through two marriages, quite a few successful businesses, all having been torn down by the entities around me because of, you know, small town politics or just the nature of it. What is that all about? Why is it happening? I couldn't figure it out. So after I've been stripped from everything once again in my, you know, I had a restaurant, I had cleaning services, I was married to my second wife, and I did not have one thought in my mind that I would ever have to start over again, that this was the true means of my retirement, and I was very happy in what I was doing, what I was pursuing, as much as anyone could possibly be, having practically, you know, rebuilt myself or reinventing myself for probably the 20th time. And I just was at my breaking point. Well, at that point is when my spiritual awakenings, things that I did not see around me, were starting to happen around me. And I won't get into any detail about that because it's different and unique for each and every one of us. So those of you out there, you know, can connect and understand or overstand what I'm saying here, then, you know, you can relate to that. Well, as that happened, I was in at my utmost end of my means. I was in my crisis. I'm 40-some years old. I'm no better off than a teenager trying to figure out what it is you want to do. At this point, I'm at the other end of the rope, not knowing what it is I'm capable of doing, you know. So I've done a lot and accomplished a lot and torn down a lot. So I found myself stuck in the desert after having been not super wealthy or anything, but I had nothing to worry about, and I had means and stuff and had everything stripped from me and put into a fifth wheel, you know, in the middle of the desert, literally. It just seemed to be I was in shark-infested waters. So through that time period, I was coming into a lot of different spiritual awakenings, and it almost seemed like the information that I was hearing. My mother was reading a book, and it had to do with new awakenings and things like this. I won't get into the title of the book, but I knew the book before she had read it, and I had lived the life already. It seemed as though I'd experienced it, and it was blowing her mind. So I gravitated back to where my mother was staying, and I, in my pursuit, I knew I had to do something, and I knew I could not fall into this grind. What this world had to offer at this point was not worth pursuing because there was no security in it whatsoever, and I knew that already. But at this point, there was nothing left. There was nowhere for me to turn. I had no desire. Every bit of desire for possession had left me, okay, completely. And the frustration and anger, mistake for anger for me, is just a lot of passion and that frustration. Because I really honestly don't have an angry bone in my body, but I do have frustrations, and I am a very passionate person, as some of you will come to know as our relationship evolves. And so at this point, I had nothing to lose, and so I found myself at home with my mom and my stepdad in my 40s. You know, the most shameful place you could be in this world, the position, you know, for a man of any means, you know, what kind of a woman would want to look at a man that was living with his mother at 40-some years old? The first thing they think of is that something's wrong with you, you know. So anyways, it's economic times that we face. And much like the way that we were taught in school from young age, the game Simon Says and musical chairs at very young ages in school. Those games, Simon Says, is a game to program you to do specifically what you're told, and nothing more. Okay, and musical chairs is to callous you to the losses of those around you in glory and in have achieving the spot that you haven't lost. Okay, so it's just showing you and already conditioning you for other people's failures and for your advantage of those failures in those games, and to do explicitly what you're told. So you're programmed. We're raised into it. We're like captive animals that have been several generations raised in captivity, not even being aware of, you know, where our original origin is from or who we are. And in this life, I believe that we're on our way to discovering exactly who we are. Well, through my pursuit of trying to find like-minded people, I knew I had the network, and I contracted with my parents, made a deal to help them out of these burdens in life, because I had met a very special woman, and it happens to be a very close friend of mine at this time. And she shared some information with me in which I was actively in pursuit of, and it just clicked so well, her and I did. and so I kept networking, and I started finding out this new information, the truth about what was going on with the financial institutions of this world, and the very truths and how, because I learned how to read contracts at a young age in my 20s. I was once a union steward for a corporation known as McDonnell Douglas for about 5 years, and I learned brush with politics and law activity, you know, in contracting and bargaining and all that kind of stuff. So I realized from that experience a few things, and I had a little bit of experience having dealt with people who lead you on to believe, become like you, to bait and trap you into having you fall or fail. And so I've quite experienced there. So it was in my beginnings, because much like a lot of us, our interests aren't in some of the things. One of my interests wasn't in, I hated reading. So, and I don't know why. I think it was because I was so bad at it. I was dyslexic and, you know, like us kids, we had people made fun of you, and I think that's a big cause of dyslexia, is just losing your ability to be confident in yourself. I think that's just a nervous thing, in my opinion. But at any rate, I hated reading, so I had to force myself into doing, how am I going to cause myself to get this information to fulfill my obligation to my folks and myself? And so I started networking like I always did, and I decided that the best way for me to absorb this information as quickly as possible was to network and then make deals with other people like I did, okay, to be able to help me and be able to bounce this information back and forth so we would learn together. And so that their, my weaknesses and their strong suits would probably cover my weaknesses. And this is the way I found it to be with Debbie Dubois. Her and I started working together with her stuff and my stuff, my folks' stuff and all of our pursuit into this, corporate world of freeing ourselves from this corporate world. And, we, for some reason, we, you know, through our networks, there's probably about five of us who were constantly talking. And I started realizing something through our communications at this point that I was running into people of like mind. Never before in my life, I'd always been alone in conversation. My conversation was never popular. I felt almost in prison within myself when things come to the rest of the world because I couldn't figure them out. I thought they were stupid. There's no other way to put it. Forgive me for the term. But anyways, and now all of a sudden, after all these trials and all these times, the whole world seemed to be against me all the time, and taking the blame and always the black. I was just commonly known as I was the black sheep. That's it. Well, many of us might be able to grasp that experience. But anyways, I lost my train of thought there for a minute. Sorry, folks.
You were talking about, Roger, how you started to meet people of like mind and have
the like-mindedness. Yeah, you set me off. Thanks, Beth. Mm-hmm. The like-mindedness is what I was appreciating is I knew that I was coming into a people that was like me, and I never had experienced that before. And I was referencing that to the times. And as I was remembering that, I was remembering when I was younger, when I used to say to myself, man, it was almost as if, because it seemed as though I had a gift, but I used to make fun of you. You're young, you don't know what you're doing, but it seemed as though I could make things come to me. If I wanted them, I could have them. All I had to do is just say it, and it was so. And I used to play with it when I was younger, and I was actually doing it, and I didn't know. I was just kind of like, wow, this is kind of cool. So I used to make crazy bets with my friends, and they used to think I was just some kind of wise guy or something, you know, and they couldn't figure it out. And it got to be where, you know, I would laugh and just say it, and I was just kidding. I didn't even believe it myself at the time because it was so ridiculous to me. And anyways, I started remembering this in my 40s now as I'm networking with Debbie and some other people. And we're talking like kids. And when this was kind of what brought us together, it was going back to the child of the past and remembering how we used to play. And all of that used to come into, you know, connection. And then I was introduced to like that clip of The Secret. And I already knew what they were going to say before the Senate, and I was just being confirmed. So what was happening with the like-mindedness and the new things that I was being introduced to at this time is that we were all connected, okay? And that they were having, that these thoughts and these people were coming, and that we were talking about being able to create our future through our word, through our talking about it in a positive way. Never say what you don't want. The universe and my grasping of it, it only replies to what you concentrate or what your energy throws out. So if you're saying negative things, never say what you don't want. Reverse it. There's the flip side. The right side is the positive side, the way I grasp it. And if you just say the opposite, the positive side of that, that gives you the same result when you say, I don't want that, or what you're asking, you know, then you're getting that positive, that big wheel. I see it as a big, big, huge wheel. You can shove on all really hard to first get it started. It seems like you can't even get it to move, and something is progressive. But once it gets progressive, it stays in this progressive motion. But every time, if you keep in your mind, that's what I do, so I can correct myself immediately, that a negative thought comes from, out of me or in my thoughts, I immediately reverse it in order to not allow that wheel, that progressive positiveness sending into the universe to stop. So I was realizing that now I can create my future. So as I was talking what I wanted into existence, it was literally coming to me. And it came into the form, my freedom came in the form of the knowledge of the truth about this world and contracting and what it really is. And I realized, too, that all the tools are in all of our hands. They get mailed to you daily. It's just that we're so, calloused, or we're in a society of such convenience, okay, and the convenience, we have given our duty away to be obligated for our own liability. So virtually, that this society or this world we're living in is nothing but a scams, and the scams are protection scams and insurance scams, okay? And it's all a false sense of security, because the only one that can secure your future really, truly, is you. And so this is in knowing your business, and I refer to it as old school rules. And old school rules were the rules that I was taught to be a decent and honorable and forthright and honest man with integrity and dignity. And my handshake was my word. And never to defile my family name. That's what I refer to as old school rules. And your handshake is your word, you know. And so we find ourselves, and we've been saying it for many, many years, a lot of us, you hear it all the time, we need to get back to basics. Well, what I help people do is get back to basics in the documents in which they signed and didn't read. I'll let you know that it is absolutely, completely, at least 99.9% of the men and women out there in this world, across the broad, total expanse of the earth, I almost guarantee it, okay, have not read the documents that put them in the mortgages they're in. And don't even know where the word mortgage derives from or what it means, okay? And I've talked to so many people, and they haven't. And I'm guilty as everyone. We all are. And so it's very simple to go through and identify what's going on in the documents that we sign, the so-called contracts, agreements, loans, what have you, okay, and or tax situations, and or credit card situations, or car loan situations, or everything. It's all can be remedied, and it's all able to be done by you. The one thing that everybody needs to know up front is the tools can be given to you. You can have the best tools in the world given to you, and they'd be worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. And there's really no value you can put on it simply because there's been much blood lost. The gatherings of these informations, okay, and the technology of these documents, but long before, as we can all, you know, look back in the history of anything that has been trying to be held back from the people, that there was much blood lost over any communications that was pertinent to the people's freedom. So, the one thing that you cannot escape with working these things is the fact that each and every one of us have to own up to our obligation for our own liability, take back the duties that were given to us by the Creator and the gift, and clean it back up and dust it off and polish it and treat it like the prize that it is. Well, and that's what we've done. We've laid it down. We've laid down our responsibility. Like Adam did, laid down his responsibility, didn't own up to his father for his responsibility. He pushed it off. He passed the buck. And that's what we've been doing, and that's why we're in the piss poor shape that we're in. Excuse my terminology. But it's none of our faults. You know, it's by design. We were raised into it. and we're blinded, you know, with a captive, once proud wild animal that no longer recognizes who they are or where they're from. So, anyways, I'm of the knowledge that this group here is of a spiritual group, so as much of the things I've said at this point is my preaching to the choir. But I'm just letting you know a little bit about me and how I believe in what I do. So, is there any questions this far? I've talked long enough at this point. I'm sure that someone might have a question they'd like to ask, or Beth, do you have anything?
Yeah, I know that Tara has some questions for you.
Okay. I'd like to, if I'd like to take one question at a time, and you know, of course, it's like you're going to have one person come up and then try to say, just have one question, and then we'll give other people a chance. If, I don't know if you, what you got there on your call, if you can see people that are wanting to ask questions, but I can pretty much cover the basics.
Okay.
Okay, so we want to discuss mortgage. Is that what we're talking about? It's just the biggest bill of everyone's life. So,
yeah, that would be cool. Go ahead, Tara.
Richard, I understand that.
No.
Roger.
I'm sorry, Roger. Please forgive me. I'm sorry, Roger.
Okay.
I understand that there's the first step. In order to be able to take the step of discharging your mortgage, that is to become Washita. And so we had a guest, dear sister, grand goddess Lily, come on the last call we had on Sunday. And I feel like there's so many questions. I know that there's some... that there's, I think, two forms, and one is a UCC form where I think you excuse yourself from the corporation status that
hey,
you're...
All right. UCC, you're interested. You're pretty much talking about what was referred to as freedom documents, okay? And let me, being you mentioned UCC, let me cover a little bit about that and sovereignty, because... this is a spiritual group, and sovereignty is what you are. You are sovereigns, you know, and so there need no paper to identify a sovereign. A sovereign is one who knows their business and knows who they are and knows how to handle their affairs with anyone, okay? And UCC is pretty much the beginnings. This is what I think about UCC, and I have done mine, just so you know, okay, and in my learnings, and Debbie has done hers. We were working together, networking back and forth. And we did the UCCs, and this is under the pretense that I did it. Those of you out there may not know that your birth, when you were born in a hospital, if you were born in a hospital, if the hospital issued you, issued your folks a certificate of live birth, okay? And basically with that certificate of live birth was naming the parents and so on and so, you know, the time and place of birth and all of that, and basically releasing the child from the hospital as being in good shape. You know, it's done. It's over. It was a live birth. Here's a certificate of live birth. You signed off. This is the child's name. This is the time, place, and the birth date of the child, and off it goes. Okay? Well, what has happened is that the corporate entities out there have taken that birth certificate, and I mean that certificate of live birth, and turned it, flipped it around. That's the way everything is. It's flipped around. And now it's a birth certificate. Well, if you have a magnifying glass and you have that pretty little birth certificate there that's got the nice ribbon, you know, whatever they call that, all the way around the edges, if you look in the bottom left-hand corner, there in that nice little ribboned area that's either blue, green, or whatever they have, will be the name of the bank that printed that document. Now, you may ask yourself the question, why a bank? Right? So it's a bank because that birth certificate is a bond. And they enter it into the U.S. Treasury in your name, okay, but not your name. It's a corporate version of your name, okay? It's worth $1 million. They name themselves, the corporate entity, the beneficiary of the account, and the child as the debtor, the slave, okay? The one liable for everything. And because the relationship that we have with this corporate government is adversarial, as is in court, so-and-so versus so-and-so, that's adversarial, that's opposite of you. And that type of terminology is war type terminology. You know, that's not here to help you. So an adversarial having the adversarial relationship gives them no responsibility for letting you know that these things exist. The sole purpose of it is to get you to pay for their life. So, if you don't know about it by the time you're 18, but you can claim that, okay, and name yourself as the beneficiary and the corporate entity the debtor, like a corporation works, and make the debtor own everything, but you control everything. That's what UCCs is doing. And you've clearly taken the living man or woman of the land, and you have separated it from the entity, naming the entity as the debtor, naming the living man or woman of the land as the beneficiary and the agent and representative, attorney in fact, for the corporate spelling, the perverse spelling of their name. Okay? And when you've done that on paper, now my take on that is that it was their paperwork that got me into this, and I started signing it, unbeknownst to me, I didn't know I was volunteering myself for all this activity, all this abuse. Okay? I didn't know that. So I thought my idea was, well, I'll use their documents to get me out of it. You know? So, and then as I learned more about sovereignty, I realized that that's not necessary, okay, at all. But what is necessary if you're not going to do those types of things is much study and an understanding or overstanding of what it is to be sovereign before you practice it, because using these things without proper knowledge of them is much like handing a child a live cocked and loaded weapon and ready to fire and expecting they're not going to blow their head off with it. Okay? It's foolish. It's freedom does not come cheap. Okay? There's still the agony of the start, I'll say. And I don't envy anybody in that position. It's not impossible, although it may seem impossible. Okay? It may seem like torture, like it did for me in that reading, and I had to do it, you know? But fortunate enough for all of you out there, there's been much more stuff gathered and put together, you know, in a more digestible, easier to, you know, take in fat, you know, way. It's been orchestrated a little better than it was when Debbie and I first started out, okay? When I got this information, I was probably one of the first ones to get it after the true sovereigns that had been studying for 15 or 20 years started to actually bring it out to the people. So I feel very fortunate. I felt very special that way. And if I'm special at all, that made me feel special, because I just knew I was in the right place at the right time. And at that point, I could just very much feel that I was being blessed in one way, you know, and that all the burdens that I faced was earning humility and learning to be humble. So, and I'm so grateful to be in my 40s. but anyway, we'll help everyone out there. You know, I mean, it's the materials, I can tell you all about it, but, you know, there's the materials that I work with are not mine, okay, and then I do my best to be able to work something out to where we can make this available for as many people, because it is the goal of with the people, men and women I work with, to get this out. However, the unfortunate thing at this time is that, you know, because of time and because of this financial situation we're in, we do have to, you know, pay some things or try to pay some things, and so to keep things flowing easy so we can help people. So with that and being understood, you know, I can spend time and talk with you about these processes. I have no problem with that, and I would like to be able to help as many people, and we can develop networks of those. Those of you that are wanting to use this information, and I would suggest that you network with as many people. Use the same crutches that I've used if they benefit you or whatever is going to benefit you. But strength in numbers is definitely it. You know, and there'll be times where you feel like you're all alone doing this, you know, but you're not. Believe you me, you're not. Many, many, many are doing it, and it's a journey that I believe none of us are going to escape. I was talking to Beth earlier, and I was telling her that I do. It's like because of the fear that you go through, you know, I mean, you have to experience this. It's just part of the process. In order to free yourself, we're responsible and obligated for ourselves to free us in order to help others or serve others. You can't serve someone properly if you're being burdened by the system. So we have a duty to serve our brothers and sisters out there the way we have to free ourselves first. So
I feel that is the key to everything, Roger.
Huh?
I feel that what you just said is the key to everything. We can't serve others if we're burdened, and so we must become free first so we can serve others.
Oh, no.
I just wanted to say that there is somebody on the phone that wants to ask a question. I just wanted everybody to know that.
Hi, Morgana. How are you?
I'm great, Beth. How are you doing?
Good to hear from you. Roger, this is Morgana on the line with a question for you.
Okay, hi, Morgana.
Hi, Roger.
Hi.
Debbie Dubois received reconveyance in addition to her title. A reconveyance on her property in addition to her title. She did.
Yeah, I know. I did. I helped her do it.
Wow. That's great. That's great. Well, that's
okay,
the members
I'm going to tell you a few things, and all of you can look at the documents, okay? You should have your documents. If you don't have your documents, you can pick up a copy of them in the public record, okay, in the county in which your house has been recorded in, as you as a recorded owner. There's things that you need to know.
Well, thank you, Roger. Thank you, Roger, and thank you, Beth.
Thank you, Morgana.
The reconveyance that you were talking about right there, your documents, this is what I want everyone to do when they have a chance. The documents that you have, the unsigned copy, the note, the mortgage, the deed of trust, the warranty deed, what else is it called? It's called a few different things. What it is, basically, the mortgage, the warranty deed, the deed of trust, those are security instruments, okay? They're all the same type of security instruments. The difference in the name only has to do with the way they're able to foreclose. Know that. Okay? The mortgage is your servitude for them having rescued you or brought you back to life, and the mortgage is mort, first part of the word mortgage, mort, derives from the word mortuary, I believe, okay, meaning death. And gauge part, I forget the word that it stems from, but it has to do with servitude and for the rest of your life. So it's of that nature. So we know now what we do. Forgive them.
Roger?
What?
I don't know what it is, but yet when you start to talk, there's all kinds of background noises, and it really is hard to hear you with the background noises. Do you know what that is?
No, I don't have anything in the background right here. Am I clear now?
Yeah, that's cool. It just sounds, I don't know what might have been being moved, but it sounds better now. Let's try that.
Okay. It was probably just me moving around. Could be.
Okay.
Anyways, anyways, on the note, if you'll pull out your documents when you get, when you have a chance, you'll have a note in a mortgage or a warranty deed of trust, or trust deed is the other one. Okay. And on the note, in the front, right on the front page, you'll, the title of it's notes. That's pretty vague. Okay. Then you get to the first paragraph, we'll have number one by it, and it'll say borrower's promise to pay. Okay. And that's getting you the idea in your head that this is a promissory note. Well, it's not, because that's not the title of it. Okay. It's a note. And so they say borrower's promise to pay in bold there. And then it says, for a loan that I have received. Now, you haven't signed anything yet, but somebody received a loan, and was it you? No, it wasn't you. You haven't received anything, but someone did. Okay, know that. Someone did. And they received the full amount that you were about ready to sign for. Okay, so when you signed the note, you signed that note as an authorized representative. Someone who is authorized has power and authority, okay? It's like having a power of attorney. And you will have signed on the right, okay? Now, you go, that has what you've done there with that note. That was not a promissory note. That was a bank note, okay? Like your check is a bank note, okay? And it was deposited, okay, and that note was taken off the security instrument right after you did all the documents, and the bank president stamped the back of that note satisfied and paid in full, and then sold it to Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac, okay. Meanwhile, the security instrument, the mortgage, okay, or the security deed, warranty deed, deed of trust, okay, is referred to as the note and gets sold down the line in the mortgage papers in which you signed, you know, the second documents there that you didn't know, okay? In the initial here, initial there, and sign here, and sign there, and so on. And what you did there, right in the middle there of the transaction between you signing the note and satisfying the property paid in full, you became the grantor, as it will state in your document, okay? As the grantor, that's another position of authority. You can give authority to a grantee to do anything. Okay, so as the grantor, you now successfully had paid full for the property, your home, unbeknownst to you, became the grantor, and at that one moment, you were the free and clear owner of that property, free of any and all encumbrances. Okay, and then you gave it to the mortgage company. And you signed and initialed those documents. Okay. And you agreed to pay them that amount of money, okay, to them over a period of 30 years, all interest up front. And if you do it perfect, you'll be half dead by the time you get to the end of it. Okay? So there's your mortgage. You paid all
That's
your life.
That's a mind blower right there.
Huh?
That is a mind blower right there.
Yeah.
Go by.
But the mortgage is dead, just like it is. It's dead. It has no value. Is non-existent, and is the fraudulent part, because all that deception, the non-disclosure, everything went on. Okay, and the collecting of the funds for all those years was nothing but fraud and racketeering, because they were using the mail to bill you double, triple, quadruple. Shoot, they got mafia people in prison for that. Stuff way back in the 60s. You know, I mean, that's what the RICO Act. The RICO Act is fraud and racketeering. That is sending a bill through the mail without verification or validation of the debt. And so simply put, folks out there, verification and validation of the debt is the simple act of fraud that is being committed straight across the board. it's billing through the mail without verification or validation of debt. So, back to your work documents. Now, when it was recorded, in your name as the recorded owner, and you did it, even though you didn't physically go down there and do it. Your signature rendered the power to them to put it in there in behalf of you. So when you release the power of attorney, they're claiming in the foreclosure that they have the right to foreclose, but it's not a contract or an agreement, nor was it a loan, okay? Because, and nor do they have the power, simply because no one, even though you signed it over on that day, and it was recorded as such to that day, and they've acted, you know, and all this fraudulent way all along, okay? No one has accepted the appointment. See, in order for it to be lawful or in law, someone would have had to sign that document and record it into the public record. The sole purpose of that document is recorded in the public record with only your signature on it proves that no one accepted the appointment of the beneficiary, meaning the power of the attorney, that allows them to buy and sell. So that means every transaction that took place here and after the day you signed that with that security instrument was a fraudulent transaction. All that money belongs to you. And it's owed back to you, all of it, completely all of it. And no one ever was able to change the recorded owner, see? They're saying that they're the owner. Well, if they're the owner, then they would be the recorded owner. Notice that the property was never owned by you. You're indebted for the property, but you're recorded as the recorded owner. Does that sound fishy to you? Okay. How could you be the recorded owner? If you were in contract and a mortgage, then the recorded owner would be the one who holds the deed, right? Well, the one who claims to hold the deed doesn't exist, folks. It's an entity.
Right.
Okay. So that's why you're the recorded owner. And no one can change that but you. So, knowing that no one has, accepted the appointment as the beneficiary, then they don't have the power either. So, we just turn around as the grantor who claims in your document states the grantor has the right to convey. So, we're conveying it. We're reconveying the original conveyance, that is the title, recorded into the public record of the property, the recorded owner. We reconvey and correct the fraudulent, the fraud. We take the fraud out of it and we put it back into the public record. And then we send out notice of that being in there. Send out revocations of powers of attorney. That means that we're revoking, rescinding all signatures, rights, powers, and privileges or authorities that were granted by those signatures on that day. Forever and for all time. Okay? And we're taking those powers back to ourselves. Okay, and we are retitling the property to eliminate the fraud. We're making a mortgage correction. Okay, during this process, we'll have purged the public record, which is what title and escrow does, is it not? Purge the public record. Well, how does that get done? Purging the public record is simply doing this, going to the public record, checking on this date, or any, liens, taxes, or levies against the property, and then going back 30 days later and checking it to see if there had been any other entries or recordings of liens, taxes, or levies on the property. And if there hasn't been any in the course of that 30 days, then the title and escrow company can call the bank and say, hey, you got clear title. That's all it means, okay? Now, clear title is not a document, it isn't something you're going to get, okay? But through this process, is we get them, because we demand them, they send a statement of insurable title back from us, because we have already purged the public record, so we send them notice to them and challenge them to invalidate our findings, and if they can't in a certain amount of time, that we are requesting and or demanding a statement of insurable title from that title and escrow company. So, in the end result, no one will challenge you. They'll act like it through the mail, okay, they're going to take, you know, Georgia, you know, where Debbie's at, that's a non-judicial state. They just take homes from people. They don't go to court. But, you know, they had to go to court there, didn't they? And they still come out of that courtroom thinking they were going to go do something. You know, the people in the courtroom probably thought we'd lost, but we didn't. We just baited them for what we wanted them to do. And they did it. And those complaints are registered in there, and I've sent my notices off, and those judges and those attorneys and are in deep trouble, very deep trouble.
Well, Roger, Roger,
yes.
Can you please explain a little bit more about what happened in the court and how you baited them and why they're in trouble? Because that's fascinating. I think you're blowing some minds right now. And I just want to remind everyone, if you'd like to call in and ask Roger a question, the number is 415-762-1161. Go ahead, Roger. Thank you.
Well, Debbie's court appearance, you know, her court case or whatever you want to call it, was based on the fact that the plaintiff was attorney could not remove the documents out of the public record. Matter of fact, he exclaimed in court that there was no remedy at law or of law that would allow him to do this. So he was petitioning the judge, okay, to sign an injunction. And I forget the name of that injunction. It was really weird. But to sign an injunction, basically to give him permission to remove these documents from the public record so that they could foreclose on the property. Now, what's really interesting is that they were claiming that they were the owner of the property, okay? Now, if they were the true owner of the property, they were also exclaiming in court that there was no legal or lawful, you know, our documents were not legal and lawful, and the action of the public record was not legal or lawful. And I said, that's kind of funny, because if it weren't legal or lawful, you wouldn't be in court to try to have an injunction have it removed, you know, so... This is how stupid they start to sound, you know. So even Debbie didn't know at the time what we were there to do. And she couldn't know, because if she did know, she would have lost confidence in what she was doing. So in supporting some people, you know, sometimes you have to leave some things out so they can accomplish what they need to do and then tell them the great thing they did afterwards.
Right.
And as much as I hated to do it, it was necessary. And when she thought she lost, okay, because the judge did sign the order, okay, she could not, you get in a tunnel vision type of situation. You don't ever want to be there if you don't have to be, and you most certainly do not have to be ever, okay? So you can be happy about that. But you do that through the administrative and by you know, playing the ping pong game with them with paperwork, okay? And you just get better at it as you go. But anyway, so the judge ultimately found that he asked her if she'd owned the property, and she said no. Well, she didn't. You know, all it was in a fictitious name. It's all done in a corporate entity. So the whole judge and jury and the whole court scene is nothing but a theater of illusion trying to get you to get sucked into the liability, into their world. And so my whole objective was to get them to perjure themselves in court. My objective was to get them to argue and break their own law form in court. That's what I set it up for, and that's what Debbie was doing, and she didn't know it.
That's brilliant.
In order for me to be able to write my notices and we're talking about the South here now, and I'm not going to say this for the purpose of patting myself on the back, but this is just something I've discovered myself. My family and ancestry as an earthly man on this earth is of the Calhoun family. And in the South, the Calhouns are, you know, we have monuments everywhere. And this is of the direct line of the son of John C. Calhoun, the 7th Vice President of the United States in this time. So that was back in the 1800s. So anyways, I just recently discovered this, which blows my mind. As far as the history of this man, my grandfather, before he died, allowed me to let me know that that was my lineage, and it didn't mean anything to me because I didn't like politics anyway. But as things rolled on to this position of life, well, it sure blew my mind. I got in, and one of the women that I work and network with sent me a Google John C. Calhoun sent me the history. And anyway, we had a conversation, but it blew my mind. So anyway, what I'm trying to say is, this in the South and my name being Calhoun, entering that in there might shake him up a little more, you know. So, because I want to go back and claim my stuff, you know. No. I'm just playing. It doesn't matter to me.
We got callers, Beth.
We do, okay. Let's have some questions here, Roger.
See,
how about
let me finish the end of that real quick.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So anyway,
go ahead.
At the end of it, Debbie's thinking she lost and she's not feeling too good. And she goes, "How did I do?" And I says, "You did great. You did fantastic." She goes, "I did?" And I said, "Yeah, look at him walking out of the court." And the attorney for the plaintiff had his head to the ground. And we were walking out with our heads tall. And I was laughing. What are you so happy about? So you know how many times they perjured themselves in court? And I tell you guys, I have a list in my notices I sent, a notice of complaint to the court. I sent it to all of them. Sent it to the Secretary of State, the Sheriff, everyone. And in my affidavit of fact. And there's over 30-some-odd times they perjured themselves in court. They broke their own law form in court.
That's beautiful.
Okay. Their own law form.
Right.
Where they broke their oath and their commitment to the people. That's a huge thing. Anyways, so it was a happy day.
And they all knew it, too.
Well, yeah, she's still in her home. You know, they still ahead with another sale, all this kind of stuff. We just send stuff to them, invalidating their state.
Wow.
You know, so anyway, I'm ready for some other stuff.
Thank you. Okay, Matt from California on line one. Hi.
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 Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
I can hear you and an echo.
Yeah, I can hear the echo also. Let me as the echo goes, and before you decide to throw.
There we go. Thank you, Seth. Go ahead, Matt.
Okay, I'm wondering what differences relate to those. Let me restate that. Well, what I'm trying to figure out.
Wait, there's a big old echo. This got to be a little bit echo, not even a little, sir. Okay, there we go.
Try again, Matt.
All right, thank you. Hi, Roger.
Hi, Roger.
Hi, how
are
you
doing? Are you on the radio or have another phone besides the line you're calling in on?
California. And thirdly,
Matt, you're the one that's causing the echo. You got to get away from your other phone line or something. You've got two phones making a big echo.
Myself physically, but that, I'm not really near anything without it.
No, that's not working. You might have to try to call in again, because every time you open up your mouth, the echo's too hard for me to understand you.
Matt, just call us right back. Sorry about that. It'll work out next time.
Yeah, okay, Matt, you got dropped because of the echo, so 1561. Try again, okay, Matt?
Okay, Frank, go ahead on line two. Thanks.
Hello. No, I'm only kidding.
Oh, my God.
Hi, everybody.
Frank from Massapequa.
Hi, I just want to say thank you for having this program, and
thanks
for you, Mr. Calhoun, for being on the show. Last time when Lily was on, I had asked her that I currently have money that I owe on tax, and I have student loans. Now, the thing that upsets me is I worked hard when I worked for a bank and put money into a 401k. When I got let go, I needed to live off that. And now I owe taxes for the 401k money that I earned that I have to pay. And she told me that I can void that contract through this process. Now, I have other friends that I got them to listen to this radio program, and all of them are drowning in credit card debt. They each have like $40,000 worth of debt in their credit cards. And everyone's falling victim to this financial system. And I would like to know if you could go through a step-by-step process filing the, because Lily had said that you have to file the UCC-1 form, and then you have to notify 18 agencies, so this way they don't cause you indigestion, as you put it.
No, you don't necessarily have to. If I may stop you right there, I can answer your question right now. What you need to do is send them a verification of validation of debt, okay, requiring any and all documents that they read, that they use to make the determinations that they're telling you, that they use to make their determinations. And you want copies of them. And you want them to communicate that into the public record in the sworn statement and in no other way. Okay? And you communicate to them the same way. You want all your communications to be in the public record because you want to document them if it's a serious thing. If it's, you're going to send the first notice to them. You know, first of all, another thing you need to know is that labor is not taxable. Okay? And everybody pays tax on labor because they're just doing what they're told. Labor is not taxable. It's not a taxable item. And how they get you tricked into paying tax on labor is they call it income. Well, income is residual. Residual is income, something that comes in all by itself with no other work. Okay? Labor is not taxable.
Well, I read that the reason why this can all happen is because what's protecting us is the Constitution is protecting the man, not the corporate entity that they created. And there's the straw man. And I wish I found out more of this information about a year and a half ago when I lost my house to foreclosure, and I had to sell it really quick. And I also was wondering if there could be a forum, not a forum where people put questions and other people answer it, but a website that could have the information in a step-by-step process. If you owe credit cards, this is what you need to do. If you owe a mortgage, this is what you need to do. And pump it out there, like with guerrilla marketing, and spread the word.
Well, we do have people I work with, and this is we're known as an organization called HDR Bonds that does exactly that. However, it's not too horribly expensive. Okay, you can get all the mentoring you need one-on-one, and all the documents you need, the templated documents that you need to complete what you need to do.
How do I go about doing that?
And, excuse me?
How do I go about getting that mentoring?
Well, hgrbonds.com, okay? Go there, www.hgrbonds.com. Okay, it's exactly that. It'll also help this network get involved with other networks because men and women all over the world are assembling and taking back the country. I know this is, these are just earthly stepping stones I'm talking about this time. This monetary system that you're dealing with isn't going to be around much longer.
Nope.
And
I wanted you to say it slower because I still didn't know what you said in terms of the only thing I could understand was H and then something dot com. You have to go a little slower. I couldn't understand.
Okay. It's H as in Harry, J as in Jeff, R as in Roger. Bonds, B-O-N-D-S, B as in boy, O as in olifant, you know,
N-D as in David, S as in
David, S as in snake, .com.
Okay. Thank you. You're very quick and nimble.
H-J-R- Bonds, bonds.com.
Thank you.
Okay, Frank, are you still there? Okay, Frank, also I'm going to be putting up a separate tab on the galacticroundtable.com as I get more information in. I know some of you have been going to zodiacus.proboards.com and you are experiencing, you're not getting instant gratification with what you're looking for. And just know that I am collecting information behind the scenes. Some of it's coming by snail mail. Some of it has to be typed into the computer and coded. So just hang in there. We're going to get the information out there. So I think we have a couple more callers waiting to ask questions.
Yeah.
Misha, hi. Are you on line three?
I'm really hard of hearing, and I didn't get that last website, but I got the HJR and then some word and then .com.
Bonds, B-O-N-D-S. Like a bond, like a bail bond, bonds.
Oh, B-O-N-D-S?
Yes,
.com. Okay, bonds. Okay. Well,
so
first of all, I really don't have a question. I had talked to Beth on an email once where she was asking me about another website that everybody might be interested in. It's called freedomclubusa.com.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to do with bank fraud also and the UCCs.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you're aware of that website. But if anybody wants to find out more information, they can email me or call me at 530.
Wait, Misha. Roger, have you ever heard of that website?
No. There's a lot of them all over. People are really coming together strong. They're just done. They're fed up. And you have to be careful, okay, simply because there will be ones out there, as there always is, when something becomes new to the people. They're the ones that try to scam off the information and try to make money off of it, and they're going to lead you down a rabbit hole.
Yeah, we have to be very careful sharing websites, Misha. I don't really want to go down that road until I've seen it and I know what it is.
Yeah, okay.
I want to know that
Wait, Tara wants to say something.
And then you will know
everybody
will want to get involved then.
Misha, let Tara say something. Go ahead, Tara.
I just want to say that I do know that Sharon Reynolds was working with that, and I don't know if anybody ever really got to come out the other end with it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been going for years and years and years, so I am not really sure about Freedom Club.
No, I don't even want to say that name. That's not a good one.
No,
Misha, if you don't have a question, then I'm going to go on to other people waiting, okay?
Okay, that's fine. Thank you.
Thank you. Hi, Charles. Are you waiting on line one?
I'm still here.
Hi, Charles. How are you?
Good. Thanks for your presentation.
Thank you.
My question for Roger concerns what I saw in the Zodiacus site, and it says that one does not need to be solvent in order to file IRS forms. It said IRS form 1056-T, a request for transcript of tax return.
Mm-hmm.
Are you aware of this, Roger?
You're kind of breaking up there a little bit, are you talking about simply a tax return, or what are you specifically talking about?
Well, if people want to get, not going through the whole process of gaining solvency, because that's going to take a while. But, obviously April is coming up, and, we would like to avoid paying taxes.
Yeah. Well, let me say this. On every level of these technologies in dealing with the corporations, let me explain something to you all. You spent a lifetime acting as a debtor, okay? So you're going to have to prove to them that you know your business as a creditor, because they're not going to let you go that easy, okay? The power is not in the paper. The paper has no power. It's merely the presentation of the one who has the power.
Right.
And ultimately, you have to stand up for that power, okay? Let me tell you something else you all don't know. That when you fill out documents that belong to organizations and entities, corporations, okay, that you are involuntarily, when signing them, becoming a member in the form of either a citizen or an employee of the corporation. Therefore, you are subject to their policy, okay, when you sign their forms.
Yep.
Each year, you have to renew your policy with the IRS by signing a new form. That's why you do it every year. Okay? So I would behoove everyone out there to be very careful when trying to utilize IRS forms in either getting out of paying taxes or trying to recover, you know, funds, abandoned funds, like many of them have done, and some have been very successful. But what you need to develop is an art of the administrative processes. And these are the communications that you will document into the public record with you and the corporation for the purpose of proving that you are acting in good faith and with honor, okay, to settle the account and to document all of their bad faith and their dishonor. When you do that, they cannot take that into their own system and prove anything. And remember this, I'll say it again. All we're doing is making them accountable to prove and verify and validate by verifying the debt. And if they cannot do that, that's fraud and racketeering. So, in every case of that, in the case of paying taxes, let me know what I know. And I just want to let everybody know too that I'm not in any way, shape, or form telling people what to do. I'm merely telling you about information out there and tools that are available for you. It's ultimately your choice. Okay? So, the IRS, there are no laws, okay, that make you pay tax, okay? There's only a law on the books that requires you to file tax, okay? So, know that. So, when filing, the way I would do it, if I did those things, and I don't play with the IRS anymore, I've got them out of my life, they've been out of my life for, 13 years or better. And, when you file, all you need to do is write the figure down, write the name of the entity, which is the all caps version of your name, and that's not your given name, that's, you know, orthographic variations, which are abbreviations and initials, or any arrangement of the name you want to put it in, first name in front of last name in front of first, middle initial at the end, however. These are the ways they manipulate those letters. Write that name in all caps on the document and write the figures down there, but do not total them and do not sign it and send it in. That's a file. You do not have to send any money.
Mm-hmm.
There's no law that says you have to pay. So, now, if these are taxes due to earnings in your job, earnings are not taxable. Okay? Labor is not taxable. Not commerce. So, anyways, all you have to do... Yeah.
I don't mean to interrupt you. I'm sorry. I want to make a comment and see what you think. And this is a comment about spirit, Charles. As we become... as we become mature spiritual beings and understand that we are sovereign, sentient beings, then we have to make a commitment to taking responsibility for ourselves. And that takes time and it takes effort. And that's how we earn our sovereignty. And that, by doing that, we free ourselves up so we can serve others. And that is the only reason we're alive on the earth, is to serve others. So what I say to everyone is embrace the idea of coming up with creative things that work for you in your life that will make yourself have the time you need to make the commitment to follow this through for yourself if you feel inspired to become sovereign and be a mature being on this planet. And, you know, there's a lot of things you can do if you don't feel comfortable with just filing, which I think is an excellent suggestion. You might want to file an extension, but start to think outside of the box and start to pull away from the idea that we are chattel and we are slaves, because we are not, and that's why Roger's here.
Oh, yeah, you are the money. You are the true value. Everything is done by the people. All the investments are made by the people. Okay, and all the technology belongs to the people. And what we have here, if any of you out there have ever owned your own business or invested in somebody else's business, okay, you know that when they ask for the upfront money to start the business, that you have vested in that business, okay? So you go through the research and development phases of the business and suffer the hardships of, you know, learning and earning and getting your stuff down right, and then the business starts to make a profit, okay? But in this case, if the world's like that, and we're all investors in that business, okay? But when it starts to make a profit, what starts to happen? They sell the commodity back to the investors. It belongs to you. You're buying your own stuff. You are the business owner. It all belongs to you.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone.
And that's
what's happened.
Charles, I'm not sure if you're there anymore, but I think we may have one more caller. Matt, are you back on line two?
Am.
Hi.
Yes. Hi. Am
Hi.
I echoing? Echoing? Echoing?
No.
No.
Good, because I thought a three-letter agency had, stopped tapping my phone and become more proactive. Hi. Essentially, you just mentioned acts that essentially pay it forward. Rather than go through all the questions that I had for Roger, other than, you know, how I contact you, what I wanted to ask was essentially two basic things. Number one, I wanted to tap into how I could get you to help me with the situation, and number two, how I could get you to help train me in all the essentials of what you're doing so that I can then turn around and pay that forward and help other people.
Yeah, if there are urgent situations, the things that I have to offer would be to, you know, offer the network in which I work with, which is through hgrbonds.com, okay?
Say it again?
H as in Henry, J as in Jeff, R as in Roger, Bonds, B as in boy, O as in O, O zero, and N as in Nancy, and D as in David, dot, S as in snake, dot com. So HJRBonds, B-O-N-D-S, dot com. But I would also would spend my time here with you on these programs to help those along from time to time too. And many people that would network together, it is our wish and desire that everyone out there has this information and is available to use it. Okay, but the problem is that because of fear, okay, people say they want to do things and don't really want to do them. They want someone to do them for them. And it's part of our fleshly condition. Not everyone's like that, but it's fear. So what I want to explain to you something about fear, you probably already know that it's an acronym. And if I remember right, I believe it's fictitious entities appearing real.
False evidence appearing real is another way to put it.
Okay, false evidence appearing real. That's the way I heard it. But, yeah, I don't know why I said that.
I know
way,
another one. It begins with a four-letter word. F everything and run.
Well, that's what gets you into trouble, you know, because you have nothing to be afraid of. You have nothing to fear but fear itself. And I'm here to tell you that firsthandedly. You don't have to believe it if you don't want to. It's your illusion. that's your journey, and everyone has it, you know. So,
yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir, Commander, sir.
Yes, sir, Commander, sir. Yeah, anyway, yeah, this is something. But anyways, it is a journey. They are processes, and processes, like I was speaking to Beth earlier, is not two steps on the sidewalk that you skip over. You know, it's like a Great Lake. You know, I mean, it's big. It depends on the man or the woman and what their capabilities are, but sometimes fear can be the greatest thing to overcome. But the reward is the greatest thing that you'll ever experience.
Right.
And I can say this from experience, that the fear is only an illusion, and it only appears real to you because you're in the flesh. Okay? And you have not, you do not know what the rules of this game is, what they are. So, those who walk in true fashion with the Father and have faith, I believe, walk in grace and are protected. Okay. And I've proven it to be so in my life. If anybody shouldn't be here, if I poke more giants in the eye, I know I've done it more than a lot of people. And the very fact that I'm here, being able to suck air and talk to you guys right now is a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Matt, do you have any more questions?
Uh-oh. I'm out here in California, and I'm just trying to figure out, in my own personal situation, how I best go about doing this. I'm just wondering if there are differentials in terms of handling the process.
Well, I'm having a hard time hearing him.
Okay, what he was asking you is, he really still, I mean, I can fully understand you, too, very well, you know. You reach the core of the essence of the difference between being slave and sovereign, yet the paperwork and, you know, learning each individual step, because everybody's individual case still is unique in how you got to fill out those forms. And even Grand Goddess Lily spoke about this, because she kept on saying, you need to become Washita first, and then you need to start taking an action, because you need to state your ground first, that I am in the sovereign venue of the divine matrix, mother, and then I'm going to claim who I am from that perspective. And then you've got to know how that feels, to know the language of doing that in a, you might say, a lawful way. And then you got to know, on top of that, how to take care of extricating yourself from all the other language on a new format. And, I mean, we've got all the pieces, yet it really needs, now there's a lot of people there that are still not, you said fear, yet a lot of fear is alleviated when you really know where you can study from. And you can follow some instructions, and then, you know, maybe down the road get a little bit of help. I'm just saying, I'm so glad you're here, yet I'm still kind of feeling like I'm grasping at straws, because I can understand you, yet when I got to do things, I need to have like a, it's like going to school, and you've got to, you've got a history book, you know. This has got to be the history of how this is done, and it's not out there, and we didn't learn it, and our brains are so programmed. So I'm just, what I'm asking is, we really do need some way to have this helping each other from someone who's a teacher's teacher about it. And I know you're only one person. There's a whole bunch of people that if they really could catch on. So I guess we need some school books or some learning tools or some references. Is that website you got helpful?
Oh, yeah. I help hundreds and hundreds of people all the time. And we've got people, you know, it's just huge networks. And when it comes to what we're doing here with this, we're pretty much the cream of the crop. Like I said, you know, I mean, I've been involved with many people, and I've seen them come and seen them go. And they're very influential people giving, meetings all over the place or having gatherings, seminars, if you will. And they come and go. And it's just like all through my life, and I think even now, that everything that was happening in my life to this moment was preparing me for these moments, because I can spot these self-serving people, you know, they're coming out. So it doesn't break me down to see that some of the people that come and be close with you in ventures like this end up having totally different other passions along the way, and we're nothing like you in the beginning, and we're just acting like that for the benefit. But so it's not as disheartening to me now, and I know that people will always fall away. They always have. So be very careful in researching and going and listening to people. Do not believe anything that people say, that includes myself. Don't believe me for what I say. I challenge you to disprove it to your heart's content. Do your due diligence to disprove what I'm trying to relay here to you as truth. And when you become exhausted with trying to disprove it or invalidate it, then study it. Maybe you'll get your studying along the way. And it's all out there. HJR 192, House Joint Resolution, is what HJR stands for. That's something you look up on the internet. Look up UPU. That stands for the Universal Postal Unions, which is one of the highest, or one of the highest forms of government in this world that people don't know. And they're located in Switzerland. You can look that up on the internet. Just hit in UPU. Mm-hmm. www.upu. You get the Universal Postal Union, located in Switzerland, and I'll let you know about some of your powers utilizing the post office and the stamp. Public record. Get familiar with your public record in your local county and what it requires you to record in the public record. Get yourself a notary, or become a notary, or share within your networks notaries. Those are ones that can create affidavits. They witness and record. And everyone you send an affidavit could be summoned to court or subpoenaed to court. Okay?
These what did are some you say of the tools the
you need
court?
To know. Black's Law Dictionary. Start looking up the meanings of the words that they're using in the documents that they're sending you. In Black's Law and in Webster Dictionary. And start breaking down and understanding the definitions of these words. Get familiar with the documents that you have and realize that your individual, taxpayer, borrower, debtor, slave, flotsam, jetsam, cargo, anything that appears on the left of a document in an all caps version of your name is not you. It is a personage. You are not a person. You are a man or you are a woman. You are a being. You are a creator in your own right. You are not a slave. So you'll from this day longer no longer come to what anybody chooses to call you. You'll be called your proper way and your given name, This is what it's called to be, means to be a sovereign. You only answer to your given name. Your given name is the first and middle name that you have that we refer to as first and middle. Mine is Roger Duane. My family name is Calhoun. That means I'm of the family of Calhoun. Remember or study what it is to have your family name back in the day and what it meant. It meant your livelihood. If you defiled your family name, everyone that had that name would be in question when anybody wanted to do business with them. Okay? This is coming back to sovereignty, going back to basics. Okay? Knowing your business. The first point of knowing your business is getting your documents out that you signed and realize, it's, you know, I know you won't understand everything. Don't try to understand everything. What you try to do is just pick out what's not you. And you'll notice on the heading of the document, it's an all caps name. That is not you. That's a person. Okay? And then in the body of the document, they never once say your name. It's you, your. They never say theirs either. It's we. You know, or whatever. They never say who. It's all ambiguous. So, learn to separate yourself as the flesh and blood real man or woman on the land, the king or the queen, from that crap they got on that paper. Because that is not you. That is the you that they invented on that birth certificate I talked about before, for the purpose of you becoming a slave to it. And we all know we have been. Have you gotten ahead lately? Or ever? You know, I mean, and then once you do get ahead, is it not much longer down the road where you got to try to get ahead again? Because you're either playing catch up or you're just barely, or this week is fine.
About every 8 days or so. I think we maybe have three callers waiting. Alexis, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hi.
Hi. Well, I guess one of my questions was, so when you become Washita, you no longer have a social security number, and I go to school, and so you don't use, for like when you go to the bank or school and you type in your ID, you're supposed to type in your social, you just don't, that will just go away, or I'm just not sure.
Well,
yeah.
Let me,
I'm just really new.
Excuse me?
Oh, I'm just really new to all this. I'm learning as I go.
Well, that's good. Starting
about.
Is, you know, to learn, you know, what it is and how you're presented in this world. Better time to start than now. So even though you're new, it's good that you're still not as new as some of these folks are going to be, because right now it's still in the cusp of what's going on here. Down the road, when things, if things do get bad, those who don't know this information or haven't heard it by, you know, in the next year or so, may be having some very hard difficulties to face. And a lot of us will. But, so there's never a better time to start than now. So, anyways, and you sound young enough to where you'll be able to endure it. So, anyways, you'll be able to do it. We all are. So, just like I'm saying, everyone needs to get familiar with Black's Law dictionaries, preferably the fourth and the sixth edition. And the reason for that is because you're coming to the closest of a root and a origin and meaning of the word. Now, as you get into the eighth and the ninth editions of Black's Law, the definition is so watered down, you literally have to look up many words in the definition. And this is what I mean by them being ambiguous in nature, deceitful, and conniving. As time goes on, they're constantly trying to dumb down the people and as to what's going on, but to no avail, because this has already gotten out past, way past critical mass at this point. So this is, you'd be happy to also know that this movement is not going to stop. And that sooner or later, everyone's going to have their homes. And that's, I know that to be true. The real estate market is no longer, so anybody, in my opinion, that wants to invest in real estate is wasting their money.
Mm-hmm.
Because that whole thing is slowly but you know, more quickly and quickly every day is eroding away. So I know I'm at a vantage point where I see a lot of it.
Roger, can I just add something about Alexis's question?
Oh, sure thing. I'm sorry. I probably didn't even answer it. I'm sorry.
Alexis, when you go through this process, you still have the number, and Roger can probably explain more about that, but how you use it is up to you. And you have every right to go to the administration at the college and tell them you will not be putting your Social Security number on any of your documents or as a password on the computer, and you tell them they need to change that immediately because you're not going to use it anymore, and they can give you an alternate number, and all colleges are doing this now. You just have to ask.
Yeah, and banks, too. You can get bank accounts without having to use your Social Security number. And so it's you making the demand, that's true. In regards to getting rid of the number, okay, a true sovereign is not going to be numbered by any system, okay? But we are not we're not there, and we're not as fortunate as some of these men and women that knew about some of this information a long time ago, and they take many years to reinvent their lives into sovereignty out of this system. The purpose of the Social Security number was for liability of tax, the 150 code, okay? Social Security. When you received and went and applied for the Social Security number, you became a citizen of the state, okay? And as becoming a citizen of the state or an employee of the state, okay, it was your duty to pay tax, okay, but not on labor, okay? The trick into that one. And then if you were self-employed because you have accepting that number, okay, you're self-employed and had employees, you are liable to collect tax under their codes, okay? All those were derived from, the territories that were left out there in Guam and Cuba and out that way and the Virgin Islands and all those areas were known as the territories. And that's where the 150 code and the Social Security Act was, and tax was applied on. But they tricked us and burdened us to do it. Back in the early 1900s, there tax office at the end of the street, and anybody who wished or believed in what the government was doing could offer a donation to that office in support of whatever the government was doing. And that's how it was done then, and then it was forced being taken out of your income, which is totally unlawful. So, for the purpose of having that number, while this system exists to be able to be bonded into the public for liability, because we're in a commercial world. Commerce is what it is, okay? And it's a world of contracting. And everything that they send you in the mail is to that person I was telling you about, not you, the living man or woman. And it was an offer to contract. And it was tricking you to voluntarily become an employee or citizen of their corporation, contracting for their privilege in the form of an application, which is, what application means is to beg. So, I myself are still, I don't carry it with me, but I have not rescinded my signatures or the Social Security number because I have to do battle in this corporate administrative world. And I have to be bonded for my liability if I injure somebody in the public. Okay? Not to mention, it gives me a great leverage over them because my bonds, regard that I have in the system of the Treasury account, outweigh them. They're unlimited. These judges that I face have an $80,000 bond. It's good for 3 years. Mine is over $500 billion. Okay, so when I go up against them and can prove who I am, and they cannot prove to me who they're working for, the entity or any contract between them signed in front of a notary to be witness that this entity is true and authentic, okay, and has power and ability to give people authority, okay, and permissions and powers, till I see that day, then, you know, that's I'm able to challenge them. And I render them powerless because I'm covered from my liability. And they're not most of the time. And if they lose their bond in their effort to try to argue or litigate my facts, well, they'll no longer work in the public again. And that's what that bond does for me. Okay, my UCCs, what it has done for me is clearly given me the separation in their system that means that I am the agent, the authorized representative, the attorney, in fact, for the person or personages that they're trying to reach on those documents, and I am their agent. As their agent, I charge fees up front for services as the agent for the person they're trying to contact, okay? And I have my requirements for doing business and contracting as the agent for this person. I need to know who you are, and you need to prove your credentials in the public record, okay, in a sworn statement as an affidavit, okay, enter your license to practice law, enter your bar card number, your public hazard bond, your contract between you and whoever it is you claim to be working for, and your power of attorney that shows me you have authority to stand and act on behalf and sign and come forth for that entity. If you don't have that, minimum requirements of mine, and cannot enter those in the public record as I asked, I can only conclude one out of three things. Number one, that you're a coward and you ran off scared. Number two, that you don't have the powers and authorities you claim to have. Or number three, you simply don't exist.
Now that you said all that, I want to ask you, we're all getting ready to do this program that's going to bring some funds, yet they still want that Social Security number. And I just want to ask you, you said you keep those things for yourself. Is that what you said? And
well, I'm one who travels on both sides of the fence for the purpose of helping other people at this time. There'll be a time in the future where these are all stepping stones, and each one of us is a warrior in our own right and for a different purpose. And my purpose is to serve as many as I can. I've been in the trenches all my life. I've got my hands dirty, and I'm not afraid of it. So I know what my duty is. I know what is driving me and what I'm asked to do, and that's my personal decision, okay, and why I did it. Now,
okay.
If I had years and years of study prior to this information, or I was raised that way, I'd be a true sovereign in the sense that I wouldn't need any other numbers or documentations or papers to prove to nobody. A true sovereign is recognized by his actions, by his conduct. Is her
right.
Conduct.
Mm-hmm. It's not a passive situation. It's an active situation. Yeah,
well,
I do remember Grand Goddess Lily said it in her own way. She said, you don't have to sacrifice anything you still have working for you in the existing structures. And you can also choose to exit those things as you see that they're not working for you at all. And in the meantime, you can go ahead and declare your sovereignty and then learn as much as you can about what that means so that you can really be that place that is motivating you to move in that direction. The more knowledge you have and then the more experience you have with taking steps with that new knowledge so that you can really ground it. Is that what you're saying too? I mean, you're saying, you don't cut up the nose in spite of your face, yet you got to, you know, you're moving the energy. Okay.
Yeah, you want to, you know, I mean, as you're learning along, you don't want to, you're not going to just shuck everything you know and end up in a world that you don't know how to function in, are you? No. Okay. You're going to gradually make these changes and you know, go through these processes as you see fit. Now, to a true sovereign, okay, and I didn't, in my opinion now, and I think I have it right, man or woman knows that they are the king or the queen that they were created to be of this earth, okay? They know who they are, and they have a real good, tight relationship with the Creator. They talk all the time, and they just, you know, some of you may be able to relate, but a true sovereign has a relationship with his Father, with the Creator, and knows undoubtedly who they are, and her conduct it shows it, and people respect them. I mean, someone can walk freely through life without being afraid of nothing, because they know their business, they know who they are, and what their capabilities are. Now, I believe I'm not all the way there yet. I'm on that journey. I'm further down the line than some, and not far as down the line as others. And we're all in different places. But when you truly know, and a true sovereign, in my opinion, has their mind, their body, heart, and soul, their mind, heart, and soul all resonating and vibrating positive communication and energy to such a high degree, you know, that no one would cause them trouble anyway. You know, I mean, they just love them. Usually they're probably lovable people. And all the ones I've seen are just genuinely true-hearted, just loving people. And some of them have been beat down to hardly nothing that I've met, and are still enduring and wish themselves dead so they don't have to go through any more of this. Mm-hmm. They don't really wish themselves dead, but they just don't know if they can endure anymore.
It's a long road.
And know this, that they feel alone too, you know, and in this fleshly condition that we're in, you know, I mean, it's this is where we're learning. We're earning our badge of humility, and we're learning how to become humble and loving beings. And through that, my experience is this. The more loving I learn how to be, and the more I come in touch with my heart, my mind, and my spirit, and act as one, the more beautiful my life becomes every day, and the more gifts come. You know, remember how it says? It says that you'll be gifted until you want no more. And it just seems that beautiful things in the way of gifts and people and all of you out there and this connection here that's been made, and every day, the small things that matter, the ones that most of the people don't recognize, and that's a true sovereign to me. No, I don't know what. I'll be perfectly honest with you. I do not know for myself the feeling of a true sovereign. I can only explain to you what I perceive to be, because I don't know if I'm there yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm on my way.
Well, and you I was told something by others that have been working on this, and they say, really, you cannot be sovereign by yourself. Each person can learn as much as they can and progress. True sovereignty is a collective sovereignty.
I agree.
So this is why we just start and we work together. And thank you for the attitude that you've learned about that which helps one another is where the joy is and where the transformation is possible. It's got to be done in a collective manner now.
Right. Well, that's it. We're powerful in numbers, and that's why we need to serve one another. Our interest should be our brothers and our sisters. It's not about us, because we can't do it on our own, just because of what you said right there. Sovereignty, that's true, the collective energy of many who will not allow any part of them to be injured, hurt, or put us under, or oppressed in any way.
And ignorance is not bliss in the middle of all of that.
No, there's no one allowed in sovereignty. There's no one allowed to be ignorant. Because ignorance of the law is no excuse, and there'd be many a life have been lost over ignorance in a sovereign state.
Ignorance is the law of no excuse. I like that. Thank you. I got to write that one down. Ignorance is the law of no excuse. Whoa, that's right.
We have.
That's cool. Cool.
No, there's Roger, there's no there's no room
Roger,
for experience in a thought world.
Are you ready for a couple more questions, Roger? We have some people that have been waiting a little while.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Thanks. I think the one who's next is Rebecca from Michigan. Hi, Rebecca.
Hello. How is everyone?
How are you?
Hi.
We're great.
Hi.
This is fun. Fun yet?
I actually have a couple of questions.
Okay.
I wanted to ask Roger if there is information on the website about the $1 million that is owed to us from our birth certificate.
Okay. First of all, what I said there was is that you have birth certificates that were entered in the form of a bond into a treasury account and named the corporate entity as the beneficiary and you as the debtor. When you make that claim, that account is for debt that has occurred on this. It's not a sum of money you're going to put in your pocket. You're not going to use it and write checks out of it like your checkbook to purchase things. This is for debt, and debt are things like they're ongoing, like your electric bill, your phone bill, you know, things that you don't pay, they're not services that you're not paying in advance for, things that are owed, okay? You can do car loans, those are difficult. You think that'd be the easiest. It's one of the most difficult because the car is mobile, and there's a lot of pre-advance notice having to be given. The biggest thing is the easiest thing, and that's the house. That's the easiest, and also the scariest. This was funny. That's totally hilarious. The ones that people want to go off after that they think are little small things are the hugest things, and it probably will get them in more trouble than ever. And the ones that they can't perceive, the house is to be the biggest expense, is the easiest one to get over, but it's the scariest. And has
okay,
the least
well.
Risk.
I already lost my house 4 years ago, and I've been manifesting the ability to have another house of my own again. What would you suggest? I certainly don't want a conventional mortgage again. I don't want to get into that again. What about a land contract, or do you have another suggestion?
Well, really, to truly tell you the truth, in the economy that we're in and the way real estate is going, you're better off to rent.
Because
the prices of everything are continually falling, and you don't want to get yourself involved in a payment or an obligation. And the true land contract will be a true contract while everything is falling apart. And you'll render yourself, you know, fixed in a position and not able to move. I think in this time that those who have already lost their homes, including myself, before I come into this knowledge, I lost everything. I told you that in the beginning. Okay? And when I lost everything, I felt freer than I had ever felt before in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Also more confused than I ever was in my life, but I felt freer than I ever was in my life. I had no idea where I was going to go. But I think, in light of the times that we're in, that we truly need to be mobile. And this is just merely my opinion. When I say that, I remember, I believe it was Abraham, he was pretty much retired and settled down in the city, and he was asked to move his tribe out into the middle of the desert. That was a true test of obedience, I would think. An old man having to move out and move himself from the comforts and the conveniences of the city. And likewise, I think we're in the same situation that we are today as was then. Is that, we need to be prepared to move and be on the move and be able to collect ourselves together. And there will be properties. I had the privilege of meeting someone who was of another group, and they're hundreds of thousands strong, and they're doing the same thing, and they've been doing it for a long time in a different way. They're connected with the Indian nations of this earth, and they have land, and they're offering land. As we network and come together, I would only imagine, I truly know in my heart that no one of like mind is going to go without a home or a place to reside. And it's amongst us right now. I mean, it's so, it can happen any time. I mean, there's so much happening in the scene, behind the scenes, but if you wanted to get engaged in the land contract, or you wanted to, as you learned how to work this administrative system, there's many ways that you could buy a home without getting involved in that mortgage. It takes a great bit of knowledge and just daringness to do it, because you're going to go into, one way to do it would be going to the same office that you went in before when you signed them. Imagine the same scenario when you sat down to sign, but this time you're going to demand your right of 72 hours to be in complete and total possession of the documents for the purpose of reviewing them before you sign them. And then, knowing what the documents are already, you would separate the note from the mortgage or the security instrument, and you would sign the note in front of a notary. You would record it into the public record, and 3 days later, you would deliver their documents back, having been recorded into the public record, and not have signing or initially any of the mortgage document at all. And putting it on their desk three days later and demanding the keys to the property within 72 hours because you have satisfied the note. I know that's hard for people to believe, but remember what I told you, everything belongs to you. You are truly the king and queens of this earth. Everything exists because of you and your families, and everything belongs to you and your families. Yeah. Collectively is how this world's got to be built to the degree it was. And all its technologies and all its worth and values belongs to the people. At least under the rules that I know about. You know, under God's laws, you know, I mean, the grand creator, ultimately all belongs to him, but we are all collectively him anyway, I suppose. So there's a lot of things I need to learn too. But, I may be right or maybe wrong, but I'm on my way. But our journeys are, like I said, we're all on different roads, but we're going to the same place, some longer than others, some sooner than others. But that's my take on that. And I think here very, very soon, the world will probably all endure great many of them, but the few, the collective few, will be able to enjoy, you know, living in a progressive, free life as the conclusion of this age comes and the new age begins. And then we'll all, I believe, have our time to re-engage and sovereign affairs and serve one another and bring this earth back into a condition that it's supposed to be and how we were meant to live, I believe. Anyway, is there any other questions?
There is, Roger. We have Deja waiting. Deja from Atlanta, hi.
Are you there?
We are, hi.
Roger? Okay.
Yeah, I'm here.
First of all, I want to say to you, Roger, that you are, in my eyes, definitely a warrior of empowerment, of love and service. Because mm-hmm. this is, I have to share one quick thing with you. Tonight I was having dinner with one of my friends, and I shared with her a message that I got from Creator a couple of years ago. When I was driving around on a Saturday afternoon, and I said, I don't even know what this means, but I want to share with you. The message was, my daughter, look back over your life. I want you to see all the things that you have transcended. And I want you to know that you no longer have to transcend, that you can go directly to the source. And then he said, you are not going to believe, we are going to bless you beyond measures. You are not going to believe what we have in store for you. And I thought, what does that mean? And tonight, as I'm hearing you share, I'm starting to understand some things. First of all, how you got messages when you were younger and how you didn't understand. And it just, I don't know, the spirit that in which you share, not only the facts that you're sharing, but the spirit that you share it with and the new age that we're entering into, it makes a whole lot of sense to me. It's really amazing.
You for that. Yeah, and it happens just like that. You know what time or tone or sound or word that was said, it's going to be said, it's going to trigger something for you, but that's true.
Yeah.
Your comment.
Okay. So what came to me before that was when you started talking about the birth certificates, I pulled out my birth certificates. I have two certified copies. And on neither one of them is there the name of the bank. There's no, like, you know, ribbon, like you said, the swirly cues around the edges.
You have a short form version is what you have, okay?
Uh-huh.
And you need the long form, and it'll say birth certificate, you know, certificate of live birth, something of that nature.
Okay, how do I get that?
Okay, what's the name of the, I can't remember the name of the office off the top of my head right now, but check.
State of Vital Records.
There you go. That's it. Just go with them, and if you got an older certified copy, how old is that copy? You know.
Let's see. One I got in 81, and one I got in 2001.
Okay.
And I have more than 52.
Were they referred to as the long form?
No. It just says this is a. A true and correct copy of the certified filed with Vital Records Service of Georgia. Certified that this is a true and correct copy.
That's not a legal form. That'd be good for employment, but that's not good for legal purposes.
Okay, form of the birth certificate is what it's called?
Yeah, it's referred to as a long form or the certificate of live birth, okay? It's a birth certificate of live birth. It's a long form.
Okay.
If you use the term long form, you get the correct one, and you'll see when you order it, okay, it should come. If you have one, it's just a little piece of square on a piece of paper, look like it was copied on there, and it's a little square like mine, because mine's 61, and it doesn't have any border or nothing. That was a copy of what was rendered from the hospital, I believe. Okay.
Okay.
And then the Vital Records will print one out, and it will have that ribbon around it now, and it'll have, if your name's not in all caps on that document that you're looking at, the new one will most certainly be that way. And even though
they're
practicing it then, that just shows how subtle they are in nature about getting it done.
Right.
You know, so all the states are different depending on which state your birth certificate's from. You know,
mine's
because
in Georgia.
Each state. Okay. Yeah, each state did it gradually, and you may have to just go to Vital Records and get a new copy.
Okay, I'll do that. And I wanted to point out one other little point of interest. At the very bottom, as I was looking for the bank, there's this one category under my mother's, it says relationship mother. And then underneath, under the day it was filed, right beside it says militia district. Have you ever seen that?
No, I haven't. No, I haven't seen that.
Yeah, take a look and see if you see. That's just a point of interest, and that's all. I won't take up any more time, but bless you for taking this time with us.
Just to go what I've, to answer the militia, what I've learned about militia since being involved with sovereignty is that a militia is the men and women of the sovereign nation standing up for their right, for their
Isn't that interesting?
That's what a
militia
is.
Wow! Thank you so much.
Okay.
Roger, I think we have one more caller on line B1, and then we're coming down to the end of the hour pretty soon.
Okay.
Ariel on line one, hi.
Hello, everyone. Tara, Rama, Beth. Mr. Calhoun.
Hi.
My question is, I guess, is simple. It's more of a statement, and when I say this, I don't anyone get discouraged from doing what you have to do, become a Wachita or whatever it is, how you pronounce it. But to me, the only thing wrong with this is the timing, because I know once everybody starts this process, be studying the Wachita, getting the papers together, all the red tape you have to go through to process the papers, by the time you become a Wachita, I mean, I'm pretty sure the Nassara would have been announced by then. You see what I'm saying? Is it still necessary to even try to go through it, even though, you know, the Nassara is going to be announced? I mean,
That's a really, really good question, Ariel, and a lot of people have been asking me that. And Roger, just for a second, I would love to hear Tara's input on that, because she's a Nassara expert.
I would say absolutely yes, because of one reason. You must put it in writing. You must declare your sovereignty in writing, and then you must follow through. And money is never money, and sex is never sex. And getting that money, you're going to be required to learn how anyway, whether you thought so or not, because in order to have that money protected in the proper venue, you have to know all about sovereignty, and you have to know how.
Okay.
There's no way you can get around this. This is the thing, that the announcement of Nassara is just the tip of the iceberg. It does create a unified field within sovereignty, yet you've got a huge, vast area, and there's a whole bunch of human race people that still have a long curve on that road to actually living it. And, again, I gave this example a little earlier on one of the other calls that it's called Walk Your Talk. Roger just said it. All of the Moorish people are saying it. Grand Goddess Lily said it's an active principle. You're not sovereign unless you're engaged. How can we do this unless we do this? It's just like having this conversation with Roger. We're becoming sovereign as a small collective right here in terms of learning the language. And the paperwork after Nassara, I believe that the paperwork of the simple part, and I mean, there's only really two basic forms for that simple part. Yet it takes getting the idea of how you can continue with that language. That's a little more complex. It's, you know, getting that Black Law Dictionary, learning the power of a positive thought. The universe is sovereign of and by itself, and we're all that, yet it's exactly the same as on the spiritual path, where we're not going to be doing business as an agenda which was meant to cut your throat off before you even step your foot into the venue. So it will be a user-friendly environment, yet it will only become user-friendly as we keep moving. And the King of Swords also said to us that we're not out of the woods just because the Tsar is inactive.
Right.
They have been taking a million different steps in the last 30 years so that we can have a safety net in terms of a backdrop, which the wave will keep going forward. And again, you will drown as you aren't learning how to swim. So this is the deal, that the soup is now getting, you know, it's mother soup instead of Darth Vader's that we're swimming in, yet we still don't know how to complete. You might say we're at least at the place, you know, I mean, I've heard a number of people say they already lost their homes, they lost this, they lost that. And then they're looking at, you know, the fear of coldness inside your body when you see that IRS day come along and you're still not knowing how to navigate with the existing structures that still appear to be real. And yet there is no shortcut to this, really.
Well, Tara, can I add something to that?
Sure.
I'm not trying to interrupt you. So Ariel and everybody listening, what I understand is that Saint Germain and Lady Masternada are working together with King of Swords and everyone else, the Syrian commander, and they are bringing in a new judicial system with a new financial system. They go hand in hand. And everything we're doing now is going to look different. When they arrest the Congress and we have a new government, things are going to change. Now, imagine yourself with $10 million. You don't need $10 million, but there's 6 or 7 billion people on the planet, and we are going to start doing projects, and we'll be pooling our money for humanitarian projects. There's only just going to be more and more responsibility on each person as we move into our new world. When Nassar is announced, we're going to start going to work. If you think this was hard, break yourself. Yeah, you might have enough to eat, you know, after that, and you won't be out for survival anymore. It just means there's going to be more work because we're going to go into our service work then.
Yeah. I want to say that this work is going to be really fun, and it becomes more fun as you know how you're navigating. It's like we're in a big playpen right now, and you know. We're babies at this. We really are. Our spirits are enlivened. We've been studying, I can't remember number, who said that? Her name passes me over. She just said, I realized, Tara, that I thought you were going to come to the end of what you know, and I understand you're a bottomless pit. And I said, we all are, you know, in nature, there are things called cenotes, and they're a mixture of the ocean, salt brine, water, and there, and the other water is lake water. There's no salt in it, and it becomes brackish water when it mixes, and it's warm, and you get in there, and it's like silk on your skin. That's when you'll know you're sovereign. In other words, you're going to be washed over with this new understanding that the gate has opened, the door, and the floodgates are just going to be. Now you're going to be in the beginning. You're going to be looking like maybe a ladybug in the ocean, you know.
And I want to say that you know everything Roger was saying earlier about how. You know, this is a part of becoming a mature being on this planet, and it doesn't have to be hard. We can all join together and learn this together, and it's just really the next step. And so it's not a requisite for anything. It's just where a person might feel inspired to go as they're going higher with themselves.
Yeah, and I wanted to say something to Roger. Roger, you may not know what national economics is. Roger, there's all kinds of, you're making a lot of noise. I don't know what it is, but it's very sensitive, maybe what you're holding onto the phone and moving things around. It's really loud when it happens, and I can't hear anything. I just want you to know that. It's very sensitive, the phone and radio. Yet I was... Yes?
Well, I was just saying sorry. I didn't know.
Okay. I was just, you know, feeding that back because the feedback is louder than your voice is. That's how strong the sensitive pickup is. Okay, so the thing is that... Again, it's going to be more fun for everyone, and the idea that things are going to get much worse, that is a false idea. And as you do not know about the National Economic Security and Reformation Act, I'll just inform you that there are 30 years of activities that have moved every ounce of gold out of the world cabal's hands, and they are completely 100% broke. And all that's going on right now is that they are revealing all the bad paper, all the heisting that's still going on, all of their attempts to lay more burden and debt against bad paper, against whole third world countries. And all of the genocide, they are no longer in charge. And their access to using those scalar technologies has been clipped, too. As a matter of fact, this might be a little bit big to swallow if you've never heard of Nasara. Yet every last one of these characters are already dead. There is either a clone or a hologram in their place. And the function of the old system is only persisting because there is a mass consciousness that still believes in the fear and that it is real. And it isn't real, that's the truth. Now, this is why it's so necessary to do this, everyone, and to become really adepts at it, and then help others exactly like Roger is triggering us to get into this, exactly like the Grand Goddess is doing. And these things, we must duplicate ourselves along with the spiritual work so that we know how to handle. Let me tell you, imagine trying to do this 30 years ago. The flack that comes back, and I'm sure Roger's got enough stories to scare a horse. And I know I do, and Roger, my beloved husband here, was attempted to be killed 4 times by the cabal, and the last time they successively killed him, and his ability with his connection with Mother Sekhmet, she helped him come back.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just telling you that these are all things that in varying degrees are just beginning to sink in to our consciousness. That's really why we found ourselves together with you tonight. And I can tell by your conversation that the wisdom that you have on your journey, coupled with the wisdom that we do have here and the knowledge that we do have here about many, 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 many whistleblowers' journeys that have made this larger looming. You know, without having the other information, even though I told you only a smidgen, there's also something else, a man named Paul Andrew Mitchell, who spent 19 years in a court case where he finally succeeded in declaring the Federal Reserve Bank and the government, the federal fascist corporate state, and the IRS completely, what's that called again? The Declaration of Insolvency was declared on March 31st, and it went into effect at midnight of 2008. And then on October 1st of 2008, all of the gold that these other guys had hidden all over the place had been moved into the United States, and it's in a very safekeeping, undisclosed location, and it's 40 zeros worth of gold. I don't know how to pronounce that amount. And there's enough gold that you cannot run out. Now, this is the answer to that question on the larger scale, because navigating in infinite precipitation requires spiritual adeptship. And the paperwork and how to fill it out actually teaches spiritual adeptship and exempts one from the persecution era of slavery. Yet it's a gradual thing, like you said. It requires you knowing every step of the way, yet it, you know, in other words, the King of Swords is saying you will learn and you will be required, by the way. When you receive your blessings, you will be absolutely required to help a ton of people. Mm-hmm. This is not our money.
Right.
What we're going to learn how to do is help people to help themselves, exactly like the man with the plan said. You know, you don't just fish for them, you teach them how to fish. This is what this process is. And it will become more user-friendly as we take our power back, and then we make it more user-friendly, because once we have our power back, we must also have the knowledge of how to navigate with it on the path. I hope I explained myself, and I pass the talking stick to you, Roger, if you want to say something with your own insights here.
Yeah, I have to concur with everything that you said there, and you've covered some ground that I have thought about quite a bit. And the reason for this going on the way it is, it's a stepping stone in through the process, because the masses will never know, completely. And so they have to go little by little. And these transactions are happening so quickly that if they were to make an abrupt change to the system that they're so adapted to and used to, they would cause a panic. And that's my feeling on it. And I know because of my journey that the many have always been blind and deaf and ignorant and scared and weak. And they were made that way. It's truly no fault of their own. They became a true product of their environment. Purposefully, are you still there?
Yeah, we're here, Rich.
Oh, okay, I heard something on my phone, so I'm going to plug it in. Okay, so anyway, purposefully, by design, because they knew your character before you did, is what I'm coming to find out, that we were purposely burdened in this system, and it was designed specifically to each one of our uniqueness, because those who were in control of it had the ability to know who you were going to become before you did, before you even had a clue.
I need to make a different statement about that, if you don't mind, Roger.
Sure.
Okay. And this is about language again, and I know some things that you may not know. And that is that in the divine plan, we were never created like this. As a matter of fact, in the divine plan, we are the divine Godhead. And it even says it in Genesis. It says, and then God said, and as you want to read Genesis with a true numerical understanding of the codes, every time it says God, what you say is the Godhead, meaning the collective consciousness of all of humanity, because we as Godhead descended into the matter that we created as the collective. We created the firmament. We created the heavens and the earth together. And it said, and God said, let us make a man. And let us make this man to our image and likeness. We said, let us make a human Adam Cadman body, with all the laws of nature and nature's God that govern nature and us, perfectly connected in that body. with an etheric aura that protects that body, with an anatomy in that whole system that brings us back on a very clear path to the one that we all are as a collective in the first place. So we're doing a science experiment, if you really want to know. We infused our own soul essence as the Godhead into the form, and we decided to wear a veil. And we decided to do this because what did we want to do? We wanted to prove it to ourselves. We are all from Kansas now, and you're going to have to show me that we're the Godhead again. And so we, all of us, brothers and sisters, collectively, have created what is here today in this system. That didn't happen overnight. It took 450 billion years of this timeline for what is here today. And what did we do? The experiment was to see how much diversity we could create within peace. And that was the goal. And what did we do? We created diversity, all right, yet we created it within war. We had free will choice the whole way. And the wealthy didn't become wealthy for nothing. They became wealthy as they stole it, number one. And number two, the experiment was conscious. And as a matter of fact, that experiment took place 6,000 years ago in the West. And they drained all the melanin out of the Adam Cadman form, which brought all the skin to white. And they did it within the Merovingian bloodline of the 13 families themselves. And after a while, they got very comfortable with being responsible to lead the people. And in that leadership, and this started off really heavily in the denouement of Lemuria and the rise of Atlantis and the war in heaven for 5,000 years in the Orion War before this descent of the warlords with their fighting power in the fifth dimensional with all their technology, exactly like Star Trek and exactly like Star Wars. And we were killing our children with lightsabers to the tune of trillions for 5,000 years. We didn't even know who we were killing. It was that bad. And it didn't stop when we got to Atlantis. We were in the fifth dimension, and we were doing the same thing on the ground. And we were destroying the planet along with that when we finally got here. We even destroyed something about the whole solar system, which threw every planet in this solar system way out of whack. And we even sent a planet supernova called Maldek. And then the ones that were on Maldek came back here, and they all came back to the Middle East. And they were called Anunnaki. And they were us. It was just that it was a few of us. We called them by many names, Luciferious Rebellious Ones. Anunnaki meaning the fallen angels. And what does that mean? They were Elohai, and you never stop being Elohai, but for your own free will choice to create a blockade between you and yourself. And that's exactly what that accumulated, undealt with inner junk, you might say. That stuff which we sometimes say laughingly, denial is not a river in Egypt. And that's what it is. It's suppressed things that you feel guilty about because of however you were brought up. And in the last days, the energies have sped up in a certain way. Although what's really happening is that the spin off of the axis of the Earth's axial excursion being 23.5 degrees off its axis is in such a humongous wobble that it was necessary to intervene in our civilization's development. And it started in earnest in the most recent story in 1945 when we violated the everything there could possibly be by killing people with nuclear bombs. And then the Ashtar Command stepped in. They weren't going to do it for us because we were going to have to find out that it was our responsibility, every last one of us, no matter who did it, to fix it. Because when one is harmed, all are harmed. And it would do no good whatsoever for the Ashtar Command, our brothers and sisters, who still are at that higher reality. They could change this in the blink of an eye. That was not the deal. We have got the vow we took 450 billion years ago is that the first will be last and the last will be first. Those of us who are first to waken in any given lifetime, we volunteer to stay to the end. That's what it means by the first shall be last. And we volunteer to do the thing that we know we have the responsibility to do. That means we have the responsibility when we know what to do. And then we have the responsibility to do it and to teach only love in doing it. And that means you're always going to come. That's what it means. You're always going to come against an enemy when you're going against the grain of the will of the ones who have become, you might say, contaminated with their own bad intentions, calling them rationalizations and losing your sense of conscience and morals and ethics. And this whole system was it was pretty much a setup, you might say, by some brothers and sisters of ours who was going to say, let's see how ignorant and dumb we can keep them. And let's play games with them. Let's make them believe that we're gods and that we have more powers than that they do because we have more money and we know some technologies and we're going to scare them out of their wits and we'll even kill them if they don't do what they're told. Well, they can't do that to any one of us unless we believe, first of all, that they can. There is no such thing. The most advanced technology cannot hurt one, and it was proven in 1945. The monks in this one place at Ground Zero in I believe it was Nagasaki, they were at Ground Zero, and not one brick broke in the entire monastery. Not one person was harmed. Everybody else was dead or dying from radiation poisoning. It was right there when it happened, and it was an example to show us that this is impossible. You cannot die, as you need the experience of losing your body through this kind of suffering. The Buddha said pain is inevitable, suffering is optional. We now know this is true, and Arundhati Roy said something at the 2003 World Social Forum in Porto Alegre, Brazil, and she described the baby killing going on south of the equator, which the Queen of England admitted in Parliament at the 1st or 2nd of June. And it was piped into the World Economic Forum, and she admitted that she was the wealthiest person on earth and that she had got it by pillaging and plundering the people in the south of the border, people of color. And that she admitted that, and she was making a commitment to do something to rectify it, and it was going to be up to us to do something about that. Now, think about that. Knowing that that Queen of England has been dead for almost a year and a half, and that that was a hologram saying that, which has been regulated by the White Knights, who know and are part of the Ashtar Command. And for all those who don't know, and Roger, maybe you don't know, there is something called the Alien Contact Intelligence Organization, ACIO, and every member of the military, every group of the military has a group in that ACIO. And that ACIO is 38 levels above the president. And that's called Deep Throat Classified Top Secret. And the president does not get to know any of those secrets, but for one president, with the exception of this president. And this president is a lot more than meets the eye, and you can't prove it to someone who is not wanting this to change. As a matter of fact, the group that is called pretty much the graveyard of the Republicans at this point, Tea Partiers, neocons, conservocrats, the Democrat conservocrats. That's what it means when there's a soul selling themselves out for money, power, sex, and drugs. And that's what's going on with all but 65 members, maybe, of our Congress. Every last one of them are already dead. And they will be carded publicly, as the public has been quite seasoned, if you haven't been noticing by now, to the fact that we've got war crimes that have not been addressed in this country. And it's already gone to the extent where other countries have gone to the World Court, many of them. Many, 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 more than half of the countries of the world now have war crime charges against the government of our country, against their whole country. And
yep.
And Lady Mastronata, you may not know who she is. She is a special lawyer from the World Court, and she is in charge of the Republic and has been for a number of years right now. And this whole period of time that we've been in since Hillary was arrested and put in solitary confinement in The Hague in June of 2007, and she has been in that solitary confinement until she was executed. And her orders to be executed were given by Barack Obama after the CIA debriefed him after November 4th, when he was informed he had the vote to be president. He didn't just have a vote. They did a world vote, and 78% of the world voted for this man. There is no way that the people have not already won. The only thing between you and me and collective sovereignty is knowledge and the will to pick ourselves up and take that knowledge and turn it into wisdom. And there's a definition that we just learned from Lord Jamal at the Moorish call on Sunday that teaches this same body of knowledge, and it's the definition of magic. Magic equals wisdom understood. And the word understood, let's turn it around and make it a positive standing. You need that wisdom standing under your feet, the wisdom of the laws of nature and nature's God. You're not connected to that Earth Mother unless you know how. And the only way you're going to do it is learn to walk on Mother's breast with the knowledge that you're walking very lightly on that breast with a sovereign step. And it means that step needs to be perfect alignment with the harmonics of peace and love. And this is not going to take long. The set plan is already in the mix. And the cat is out of the bag, and the lady, the fat lady, is already singing. And this is one of them. Voices here. This voice here is a fat lady singing. And Roger's a... You know, we all are brides of the Christos. Doesn't matter whether you're a male or a female. We are all brides of the knowledge of the Christos. What does that mean, the Christos? The Christmas. The mass is joining together with the order of Melchizedek. the understanding of the order of Ma'at, the understanding that the source is feminine. The source is feminine. What is feminine? It's love. Every male and every female body lives from the source of love, which is mother energy. And that is what sovereignty is based in. It's based in mother energy, mother nature, mother goddess. And that's what the teaching is. I'm passing the talking stick.
Well, what I can relate to with what you said is I totally concur with what you're saying. It feels like, a lot of things you're saying are things that I've thought and kind of known inside. As far as the names of the ones that you're speaking about and their positions, I'm not so knowledgeable about those things. Debbie has been talking to me a lot about what's going on with Massar and stuff from time to time, so I'm not totally unknowing about some of the things. So the names that I've heard before, like Lady Mastronata and King of Swords and so on, because I listened for a while before I got totally into what I was doing and realized that Debbie would keep me connected to the activities regarding that, and that we, as individual men and women, we have our own personal, things that drive us and push us. And I knew almost instantaneously from talking with Debbie when the first moment that we started talking that we would have a very long relationship ahead of us in networking, and that she would be able to keep me informed of what was going on with you guys. And I've always been interested. Just had to put my studies and my mind in another place. But as far as Barack Obama's concerned, and I'm not one for politics or nothing, but I believe in what I understand things to be what you're saying, and to me, I can hear what he's not saying, and I hear the new age words that he's using, and these are the subtleties that the average man or woman would never pick up, and they're not seeing the change. They're not seeing the change, the tide, or the controversy. The man literally had the world on his shoulders in controversy, not only for being a black man, but just for, they just like they needlessly jump on his back, saying he didn't do things. He ain't even been there a year yet. But as it goes on, I'm noticing that this man is almost playing around like a cat does with a mouse with all these men that are in front of him. I can see that he's very clever. And he is, and I don't know for sure, but I just think, because I have these feelings, that he could be the representative of the men of all men and all the gene pools that make up all men in that man. I'm not certain, but I know that he's got to have some... He is special. I can see him, what he's done. I can hear what he's saying in the New Age words he's using. And I'm watching one man defeat many in his political arenas by being able to wittingly, cunningly, and so cleverly use his words in such a precise manner, all the while thinking on his feet, not reading from cards or teleprompters. Is pretty amazing, and I think it's pretty impressive. So, as I don't know how the outcome with that will come, I am hopeful that he could be the man that is that fine actor in that political arena that is acting in behalf of the many. And he is definitely posing himself as a world leader, not the president of the United States of America. He is posturing himself and showing courtesies that haven't been shown, extended from this country to other countries, as a ally, as a friend, as someone who's going to turn this around, showing respect for their customs is what I've seen, regardless of all the hearsay that's going on about them and whatever. But this is what I see, and I see that he's seems to me to be a man of surprise, a man of mystery, a man that has not truly even introduced who he really is at this point, or what the outcome of his presence is going to be. But that's all I can add up from that. But I do have a good feeling about the guy, and I don't like politics. I know that these things have to happen. And you were so right. You were so right when you stated that each and every man and woman is going to have to do this. Is it necessary, the question that one man asked when you pick up the... It is very necessary. It's you have to know where you've been, and you have to know all of what caused this to happen in order to move on to your future. The unfortunate thing about this is us as the collective can't do it as a collective. This is a very personal to you and your relationship with the collective body and the universe. The grand creator, as my grandfather used to call him, man or her, or whatever, you know, get yourself in a mess of words there. But anyways, it's like getting approval from your earthly father. Everybody, man and woman, girl and boy, requires that approval. And this is a state where we are claiming. You are making your claim as that man and protecting and taking on your duty for your obligation to your own liability to serve others, okay, and bring this earth and the collective body here on this earth to the state that it was meant, or the condition that it was meant to be in and brought to. I don't like that word state much either. But as I learn what these words mean is the reason why I say that, because I'm trying so hard to remove certain words from my vocabulary. I do believe that what we speak into existence, as it says in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning there was the Word, and the Word was God. If we are the collective are God, then what we speak out our mouths is God's will. And we cause it to exist. So the negative that we use and things, and what I'm learning about language and tuning my heart with my mind, with the spirit, and having them resonate and harmonize together in that positive vibration. We, as each individual man and woman, do have our duties. That is the one and only thing I know for sure in my heart none of us can escape. And it's with what you mentioned about being here, the ones that come into knowledge first, or the ones that awaken first and their eyes are opened and their ears. Now, it is also in the sovereign way, the strong protects the weak. And that's anyone, men, women, usually women, children, orphan children, women, and ones who can't fully handle, you know, everything on their own. We are the ones in the knowledge are responsible for getting to knowledge, the knowledge to the ones who don't know. And after we've gotten it to them, it's responsible for each and every man and woman who have received this knowledge to act upon this knowledge and make your father proud. You know, come into acceptance of accepting your responsibility, your duty to be, for your obligation and liabilities to others. And that simply means that we need to serve. That's how we come into that. And so that's really all I have to say about that, and that I can help as I try to help as many as I can with this information. And what we all need to do is remind ourselves that we are responsible. The chain is only as strong as the weakest link. In a sovereign world, everyone has duty. Everyone is important. Everyone has purpose. Everyone is knowledgeable. No one is ignorant, and no one is left out. So nobody rides for free either. We all have an active duty and part in what we do, and I firmly believe in that. And like you said, too, this work is not going to be burdensome. The beginning of learning the knowledge and cramming and relearning life, because this is what we're doing, we're learning how to live instead of die. We learn how to die in this world. We never learn how to live in this world. As was said in the movie that I like so much, every man dies in this world, but not every man truly lives.
And I wanted to add to that, because there is something that we are have, this is the first time that this is even possible. In other words, in 450 billion years, this is the first time that this is possible for the whole world to get it. And to get it in a very short time, I want to encourage you, because never say never, Roger. I've heard you say never about the populace and the polity about 50 times in your consciousness, as if it will never be possible for them to awaken. And what we understand now, because the Mayan calendar is coming to a rapid close, that means timelines cease to be important or even real. And the sea of the energy of no time is a blanket that's seeping into the consciousness, and it's really doing a very thorough job, because they've never put so much energy from these higher frequencies into this planet ever. That means we're taking it in and we're using it as fast as it can come in right now. And the people, it's like a, what do you call that, a hundredth monkey principle? We are that hundredth monkey principle, where that sweet potato or that banana peel, you know, or that monkey cleaning all the grit off of the sweet potato before he eats that thing, that grit is being just completely... It's like that veil. That veil is being lifted, and everybody that's got their drawers dropped, because everybody can see that they need their drawers dropped now. Their drawers are dropping like crazy. And the whole world system is fed up. They're, what's that again? I'm mad as hell, and I ain't going to take it anymore is a world mantra. And the people are not turning back, and that's what Arundhati Roy said. She said there's only two things. There's only two things in this world that are superpowers. And one is empire, and the other is the will of the people.
Yeah.
And the empire is already in shambles. They have no money. They only have the facade of trying to push their ideas and force them down people's throat. And because Barack Obama is setting the tone, and he holds the seat of power, and he has been able to get closer to health care in 100 years than anybody ever has ever in any position in this country. And this country is the only country on earth which does not have health care that is socialized in some way, or has a plan that is absolutely working, where it's not for profit. Not one single other place that has got the best health care in the world is doing it for profit. Not one place on earth. And it is the ultimate dichotomy. Dichotomy. Okay, we've got 6 minutes to closing time. 7 minutes. No, it's till 10:55. So we've got 43 to 53.
10:50.
Oh, 10:50. Do we got to go at 10:50?
Yes, I already.
All right. Well, Roger. Roger.
Yes.
Okay. Do you want to share any more? Because it looks like we came to a completion cycle here. I'm just.
Okay.
I'm really encouraged by meeting you and sharing with you, because it just makes me want to jump out of my skin to find another person that really gets it. And you really...
I get the same feeling. I was sharing that with Beth while I was speaking with her on the phone. And I got to say that it is, you can feel the energy. I feel the energy on me when I meet people like that, even if it's over the phone. And the excitement and knowing, because years for me that I've been out there until these last just few years, meeting like-minded ones that are pursuing and are in tune and can share things with me that I don't know, you know, because I don't learn these things out of books. They come to me in my mind, you know, and so it's great. It's a pleasure for me to share and have my thoughts validated by those who are saying the very same things that I've always thought. So,
and you know, this whole last 100 years was necessary. In other words, we knew in the divine plan. As a matter of fact, and I've told this to all of the people that have been coming to the calls. Rama went to the Solar Tribunal on Saturn. Rama's been traveling interstellarly on ships in the physical since he's 13 in this lifetime. And he is not alone. There are so many galactic humans on the ground that have volunteered to come into a lifespan in this time. And they don't have any trouble with this. They don't have any trouble with the new system. They know it, like, that's what they're familiarized with. They're learning by having the human experience how to help others to wake up. They have not lost their way. That's their way. Yet they have to, you know, work with us, and we also need to work with them. There are androids on this planet. Lots of androids. That's why Star Trek came on in the 80s. Because those kinds of beings are very helpful right now. Androids, what's his name? Data. Data had no, okay, we only got 4 minutes.
Yeah, I'm so good.
Data did not have an emotion chip. And so he knew everything and he was fully functional. Which means that's a good start. Yet when they come in without an emotion chip, and they come into a human experience instead of an android, then it's up to them, with our help, to learn about emotions. And the dysfunctionality of the emotional body of humanity is a mess. Data coming in without that kind of dysfunctionality is in a certain way at an advantage, because he doesn't get hooked up in that, and he just gives the logical solution, and the people who are emotionally dysfunctional go, oh, I never thought of that, because they can, except for all these emotional jambalayas going on. So there is a mix now of galactics with humans that's approaching that place where we can transcend this without doing through this long linearity. And that's why I just, let's leave it to the magic now of wisdom understood. And when we all do this, you know how it is. The first time you learn how to play piano, it takes a while. You got to do all the scales and blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden, it just clicks in. And guess what? You're playing piano without music. And you're making your own music. You're creating new DNA. And that is happening rapidly. It's happening rapidly. Okay.
Yeah, it's compounding every day. Every day.
Okay, so expect the unexpected, Roger, and expect the dumbest of dumb to wake up very quickly.
I didn't mean that they never would. I just mean collectively, all together, I believe that, well, I feel, I should say, that we'll all have our own process and our own time. You know, and I know of the, you know, I think back in Nebuchadnezzar when you mentioned that, it could happen into a blink of an eye for all of us. You know, that's not, everything is possible. But I know the trials I went through. I know, Brother Yeshua had went through many trials, and I believe that, you know, that all of us will have to go through whatever we can burden or bear to come into this knowledge that will set us free. And this is the knowledge, this truth about the way things are, I believe, is one of the truths that shall set you free. It's been the one that has set me free from the burdens of this society. I've never felt more free than I do now, and every day, meeting all of you here and having communications with you and people of more people of like mind, larger networks, every day is happening, new gifts. For me, I'm glad it's happening subtly and a little slowly at this point, because you get really excited, and I can imagine probably passing out of a heart attack or of excitement if I seen too much at one time or had too much fun or, you know, excitement. You know, this is real life. This is intrigue, mystery, discovery, everything, you know. So, yeah, I do expect the unexpected to happen, and I wish it for everyone. And forgive me for using the term never. I didn't mean it. You're right. You should never say never, because all things are possible, and anything could happen at any time. So I'm grateful. I've had my experiences and my hours of need with people. The ones that appeared as people for my benefit, and it was so amazing. It brings tears to your eyes because the comfort you feel all in the moment, and looking into their eyes is just so comforting, and you know it because you feel it, you know, and it's just like it's really here. So I don't know how many of you have had experiences like that, but in my hours of need, through my darkest trials and my most feeling alone, still someone will show up to ease your troubled time. But anyway.
Okay, now let's see. You can run a bit over if you like. We got a nice little message there. I think we're just about there, don't you, Richard? I mean, Roger.
I'm good. I hope I was of good service to everyone here this evening, and that I was able to answer the questions of those who had questions to answer. And there'll be more information. I just have to say, remember, these are processes. Process is a big word, like love. Love is a very huge word, and we often take for granted these words. Process, a process, is a big word, and it's not to be looked upon as something lightly.
It's a lot more fun to do the process together, and I think that part of us that have had that inner drawing now to join in community, and this is a good virtual setting for that community to grow. And I want to thank BBS also, because this is going to bring more world collective togetherness. We have people in 85 countries that are listening these days, and this can be done. To become Washita means anyone on earth can do this, which is a global endeavor just in and of itself, which is not always the case, you know, especially in the United States. This has been one heck of a nationalistic, isolationistic country, the most nationalistic, isolationist country on earth. And now we're responsible to lead that whole world that we've been isolated against and out of sight, out of mind, and now it's in our face every day. And I believe that is the divinity of this, in the face of the suffering of the people, that it's so exponential now that as we are being almost flushed out of our fear. There's nothing to fear when you watch millions of people in the state of a place where there's nothing to lose and there's everything to gain. And that's when they come in and they help more than ever. And I believe that for what we do together like this, this brings in that kind of help more every day in an exponential way, a way that we have no idea how much love we can hold even to the end of this show.
I agree. And collectively, I had a friend of mine, Dan, he put it like this. He says, imagine you going into a stream and swimming across it, and the stream may have piranha in it or known to have piranha. And as swimming across the stream, you may get an old nibbling on and realize that, you know, there was one piranha in there when you got in there and you got a little bite on him. Well, in the sense of this monetary system in the world as it is, most of us have acquiesced, and that what that means is to remain silent, not to fulfill our duty, not say anything when it bothers us in the proper way. And the scenario that he painted is that if you were to swim across that river when it was full of piranha, if each piranha just took one bite, you would be completely devoured to the bone in no time. Likewise, if each one of us and just stands up and writes one notice collectively to the same places asking questions personal to us, that are unique to us, so they know that it comes from individuals, not in the generic sense or carved out of a computer or something, collectively, we devour them effortlessly, and it will be over.
That's exactly it. That is exactly it. Thank you for the extreme example.
That was a friend of mine. It's pretty effective. And with effort, with ease, as it said in that history book, commonly known as the Bible, many hands make the load light. Does each of us do our duty, and the world will change it in a blink of an eye? It's all a matter of changing your mind.
Indeed, and I am still so elated about what's to come. You know, the burden of unloading the burden in the White House, and the man that's in there with that wonderful family and his harmony within that circle of his family, and the knowledge that we have now that there is all of these people in the media, all of these people that are whistleblowing like crazy. This thing is going like wildfire when you really realize it. And we have no idea how much Barack has really accomplished behind the scenes. And I do. I probably have, and Rama and a few of us who have been behind the scenes. I've been behind the scenes for 36 years with what they've been doing to restructure this so that these guys are completely out without causing any more turmoil than that's already been. And they've been able to stop them because their intentions are and have been thwarted. They thought that they would have nuked Iran long time ago, and they haven't been able to. And that's because the intervention has increased as we have increased in number as we open our mouths and take that little bite, like you said, friendly nibbles of the good piranha kind.
Well, you can put it. You put it in another way. This system is about making money. Its heart is money. It's love for money. So think of it as paper. You each one send out a piece of paper that needs to be, you know, needs to have an answer to. It needs to have communication sent back. If all of us were to send one piece of paper or notice to have the communication back, you could break the system just simply in the cost. It would cost them to communicate back to the people. The point that I'm trying to say is that once you start costing them money, they go away.
Yeah, well, the thing is right now they don't have any money, and the only money they have is what they can squeeze by raising the insurance up to 70% in some states and having people...
Oh, yeah, it's all just fictitious numbers on a computer screen anyway.
Well,
so. Yeah.
All I'm saying is that the people are seeing that even the Tea Party people, the ordinary ones, are seeing that their insurance bills just went up to 70% or so. And, okay, that's enough. I think we better stop now.
Okay, well, thank you for inviting me. Like I said, I hope I did a good service for everyone and was able to answer their questions. It's a word of encouragement. It'd be a little difficult at first, but it's worth the journey, and the greater the risk, the greater the reward. Anything worth having is worth fighting for.
And I'm hoping that we'll come together again sometime. I know you'll talk with Beth about that, yet I think we've got a connection now, and power to the people.
Yeah, I agree. Anyways, thank you all. Thank you for inviting me. Thank you, Beth, and everyone out there. I'll be more than happy to come again and speak on some issues when I get invited, and be more than happy to assist and help in this matter for the masses so the people can hear what they need to know, or at least have a beginning of where to go and find out how to handle their affairs in this administrative corporate world. So, anyways, thank you very much for having me, and I only hope that I was of good service to everyone.
Indeed. Indeed, Commander. And I'll see you on the bridge and in your dreams tonight.
Oh, good. I'd love to have a good dream. Haven't had one I've been able to remember for many years. So,
may you have many more real lucid experiences. Now you know we are being assisted to help others. You know, we are being taken in the night work, and many people are starting to experience going to Haiti and helping out in the night work. And other places now. Chile's got, there's plenty of places. And the experience now is coming for many more people.
Well, as my networks grow with the people, because now people are coming with huge networks. At first, it was individual men and women. Now these men and women are bringing networks of hundreds and hundreds of thousands. And so I'd be more than happy to share any of the information and the new gatherings of other like-minded ones that have been working for many years and being virtually unrecognized are now stepping up, and it's just something else. I mean, they're coming from all over the country, things that people have to say and share about. That's just amazing. And I know it's our end time, but anyways, thanks again, and I'll be looking forward to sharing some of the other information that I've gathered the next time that we get together.
Okay, I look forward to the day when we can get these papers submitted, and then we're on the other side, and we can work together with our freedom.
Oh, yeah, that's not a problem. It's just figuring out how we're going to do this collectively, and how you're going to network it within the everyone you have there. So,
We'll just have to keep doing our brainstorming together in between these calls, and we'll stay in touch.
Okay, very good. I love that. That was great. So, again, good night, everyone. Thank you very much. And you all have wonderful lives, sweet dreams, and pursue, keep pursuing. It's very well worth the journey.
Okay, and Roger, just if you would like to enjoy it, we're going to play Is It for Freedom by Sarah Thompson. And everyone, we love you. And here we go. Namaste.
Hello?
Rulers of the nations, as you fuss and fight over who owns the sword, that who has the right to design, build, sell, and store empires, all the bombs and guns to defend your holy empire. There are children hungry, children sick and dying. There are mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers crying. They're only pawns in your play of power and corruption. Slowly starve them your new weapon of mass destruction. And prove to me, America, that you care. And prove to me, America, you're aware. Who's dying for your freedom in this land? Who pays the cost for the liberties you demand?
Is
it for freedom or
profit?
Is it for profit for your business or pleasure?
The chair's on to the service of the gallery. The stars and
I was
prisoner
in the land of the
destruction.
And prove to me, America, that you care. And prove to me, America, you're aware. Who's dying for your freedom in this land? Who pays the cost for the liberties you demand?
We have the national emergency on our hands, and we've got to stop this war. It's up to us. We have to do it. We cannot be silent. We have to speak out. Dissent in a democracy is our right, our obligation.
United shall never be defeated.
Tell the world you have the right to sing and dance, run and play, let your dreams take flight. As the innocent eye, your rulers carry the shame. And if we stand idly by, we share in the blame. And oh, America, do we care? Oh, America, are we aware? Who's dying for our comfort in this land? Who pays the cost for the convenience we demand? Children of the world, you have the right to sing and dance, run and play, let your dreams take flight.
Aho, Nitakuyasin. 13 thank yous, honey in the heart, and no evil. Good night, everyone. We love you. See you tomorrow.
Namaste.
Namaste.